The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, and players are still here. They haven't left for their bye yet. We suspect this will be the last day that they're here, though. But there'll be player availability later today around 3 o'clock. Tom Brady spoke this morning, and Andy says it was one of his best ever.
I didn't actually say that. Oh, I said he was good.
I think it was Eric on Twitter that said that.
Okay. Yeah, I said he was good. He was very good. I thought he was really open about Gronk and how dominant Gronk is. Talked about how he causes panic in defenders because they see how big and, you know, they can't do anything. They get bodied out. He catches. And then he kind of compared it to a quarterback who faces an elite corner and mentally is sort of thinking about the corner before the play even starts, and that you're panicking. You're letting the guy affect you before the play even unfolds. He said that happens with Gronk. He also, do his parents live in the same place they did? Because he said,
I don't know where they did.
They were asking him about, you know, like fitting in with his teammates, and he's not the same guy he was in 2002 or whatever. And he said, but, you know, from the outside, I'm not. But from the inside, I feel like I am. I still feel like I'm part of the blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'm still the boy from Portella Drive or something. And I'm thinking, if his parents still live there, they'd probably appreciate he not give out the road that they live on.
Well, he, I did see one quote where he told the young guys, you know, enjoy this because
yes.
Someday you'll be married with three kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Which he delivered with a smile, and because if you read that, that might come off as Giselle saying, hey, oh, you're not happy to be married with three kids? You're not happy you get to stay home this week?
I thought that was pretty clear.
But he said it with a smile.
You're not happy?
Now she's Julia Child.
Yes. And my first response was, Tom, do you really think Gronk will ever be married with three kids and settle down and not get excited about bye week? Because I don't see it happening.
Right.
Married? No.
Oh, you guys are all the same.
What else have we got going on today?
Unbelievable.
We're still basking in the glory of that win.
Julian, first of all, if you're at home and you want to watch a replay of that glorious win, NFL Network is airing it as we speak before our eyes.
Is it the whole game or like a condensed version?
Condensed. Oh, that rewind thing, it's a half hour.
Oh,
it's,
right now it's 2:26 in the first quarter.
They're fantastic on Mondays. You can see every game in a half hour.
I did get an email from someone in Maine. I guess in Maine there was some severe power outages and, you know, people haven't yet been able to watch the game, and they don't want to see just the condensed version. They want to see the entire game. So one way would be to get Game Rewind.
Right.
You could watch it in different ways, the broadcast, or you could watch it from all 22. But that's one way to watch the whole thing, but you have to subscribe or buy it.
Yeah.
What is it, like $20? I don't know. What.
I think so, but I don't really know.
Yeah. But it's. I think it's the best app that the NFL has come up with. I really do.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just an app. I mean, you can do it on a
computer.
You don't need a tablet or a phone. You can do it on just a laptop.
Yep.
Go to it.
And, you know, not only does it give you the replays of the games, but it gives you NFL news, and on Sunday it gives you all the scores of all the games. So
it's certainly functional. It's good to watch a game if you needed it for that purposes.
Right.
But if you're a diehard and a real hardcore, like it gives you the playlist, you can just click on a play, it'll take you right to that video.
Right.
You can watch that play from, as you said, the regular footage, the coach's footage. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called Game Rewind. So for you Mainers, you can use it to watch last week's game and anything in the future. So
or in the past.
Yeah, I would get it. I mean, if you were a diehard fan.
If you really want to see it, that's probably the best way for you to see it. Because I know that person asked if Fred could get it and put it on the site. Because of that, I mean, they are selling that. That is a product of the National Football League. They're not just going to allow people to give it away.
Right.
But if you're a hardcore fan and really want to see it, it is valuable.
Webradio, patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500.
Julian Edelman, Special Teams Player of the Week in the American Football Conference.
That's nice. And, you know, everybody made a big deal about Tom Brady leaving the bench and running down to the end
yes.
zone to congratulate him. And Julian said he was a little bit surprised to see him out there.
Tom said he was winded. I never run that far.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. He said he had never done that on a special teams play before.
Yeah.
Well, he said Jules is real special.
Special friend.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, all the coaches were made available. So there's a bunch of stuff on Patriots.com. Googe is up there and some of the other positional coaches.
Googe talking about one of the best left tackles in football.
Yeah.
You know who he was talking about?
No.
Jonathan
Nate
Ogden
Solder. Said he's rounding into form, gotten better every week, and they had just had a... Something just fly over my head.
I did not see anything fly over
my head. They had had a meeting, and they were talking about how much better he's been, and he's becoming one of the best left tackles in football.
And they, one thing I did find interesting, Freddie, about him, Googe, was that he talked about the tackles both being unsettled based on who was next to them in the early part of the season. Yeah, Googe admitted that, that was a part of the problem. So we sort of threw that out there on this show that it's almost like they don't have that comfort yet with the guy next to them. And, you know, the play has certainly improved on the tackles. But I think the tackles have been much better the last couple of games than they were earlier.
So does Bill, because he didn't feel the need to play backups during the game.
Right.
I heard somebody saying that part of the stability is Connolly. Once he got healthy and back out there, his veteran presence next to Solder really helped Solder.
Who'd you hear say that?
It might have been Grash.
Might have been Paul a couple minutes ago.
You know, but Paul said,
those fat blowhards all look alike.
Paul said who's...
No, but Conley was next to Solder at the start of the season.
But then he got hurt.
When they were playing well, he got hurt.
No, Conley was at center to start the season.
That's right. Because Stork
Cannon was
there.
At...
Oh, all right. Well... But he was in the game. Okay, you're right.
Right.
You're right.
No, but
you're
Connolly
right.
is now next to Solder.
Yeah, and that's also a point that I just had made.
Think that, you can connect some dots, and when they made the decision to get rid of, Mankins, maybe part of the reason why they were willing to do that was, we got Connolly, and we have faith in Connolly.
So why didn't they put
put him at left guard? That's the whole point of what we're talking
because
about.
Because they
you're
couldn't at first. Because
they could have if they wanted to.
Yes, they could have.
Stork was out.
Ryan Wendell
was playing center after that.
Yeah, no,
they didn't want him to play center.
It was
early.
All mixed up. Now this is
no. I can't allow you to spread things that aren't
true.
Factually true.
It's not true. It's completely false.
They've finally been able to get the guys where they wanted to have them.
They had the opportunity to do that at the start of the season. Had they chosen?
No, Stork couldn't have played to start the year.
Stork didn't play the first game.
Right.
The first game.
But you had Dan Conley and Ryan Wendell. You could have done whatever you wanted. They chose to go with
Jordan Devy.
Cannon and Devy with Conley in the middle. They could have had Conley next to
and Wendell
Nate
was
Solder.
Hurt.
And
No, he wasn't.
He was hurt early. Yes,
not in
was.
The first game he wasn't.
No,
he got hurt in the first game.
I'm telling you, whether it was the first game, second game, third game, throughout the first month of the season, various guys were out at different times.
Okay.
They were never able
if
to
you don't
settle.
Want, if you don't want to listen to Andy explain to you the different facts
it's
involved,
true.
It's
you know
not
they had
true.
The same starting lineup for the first 3 weeks, the one they chose.
The same starting lineup, the
Cannon,
first three games.
Cannon, Conley, Devy. They chose it. They stuck with it for 3 weeks. The results were horrendous.
Wendell was an option in week one to start. They chose not to start.
Even in the first 3 weeks, they were rotating in and out. We were all upset about how they were rotating. They never stuck with anything
so now
until
you,
recently.
So now you agree with us. They had an opportunity to start Wendell. Instead, they decided to rotate him in among Marcus Cannon and Jordan Devey. Okay, so now you're on the board with Andy.
I'm telling you, that's what Andy just said.
But I actually don't think there's anything to agree or not agree with. It's facts.
Exactly.
Like, this is not a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
If you want to say that we were all unhappy with the rotation, we're all three in lock.
Sure.
I'm right with you, Freddie.
A lineup that didn't work, and then they have since fixed it.
Right.
Correct.
I think if everyone was healthy from the beginning, including Stork, you would have seen Connolly at left guard. You would have seen Stork at center. And, you know, I'm also talking
and
about
Jordan
preseason.
Devey at right guard.
You know, Stork didn't really get the reps in preseason, too, to get him ready for this.
I agree with that.
You know?
I agree with that. Stork didn't play because he wasn't quite ready in week one. I agree with you.
And having Stork at center allows them to do all the other things they're doing now. They couldn't do that at first.
They could have with Ryan Wendell. They chose not to.
They couldn't do it with Stork.
That's correct.
Right.
They could have with Ryan Wendell, who they have deemed part of the solution now.
At guard.
It's easier to play center than guard, Fred. And they started him at center against Cincinnati.
Because they had to. Because they had to.
Fred, is Jordan Devey better or worse than Ryan Wendell?
I say worse.
Okay, so then they chose to start an inferior player then. So now we're all in agreement. We can move on.
You can make mistakes and learn from them within the course of a month.
But I'm talking about the center position.
Some of the problems with the offensive line were self-inflicted.
I'm talking about the center position. They would rather have Stork playing center than Ryan Wendell. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, but they couldn't do that at first, right?
Well, they could have.
They could.
They thought he wasn't ready. He was not physically
Whether he wasn't ready, there was a various reasons why they couldn't have Stork at center to begin the season, correct?
Sure, yes.
And that screwed things up.
I disagree with you. Yeah. I think that's all.
You started your whole premise here is they are now allowed to have Conley at left guard.
They could have had Conley at left guard on day one.
But Conley is, I think they think in interior, Conley is their best player of all of them.
Okay.
And
so?
I think
What's the most important spot in the interior?
I don't know what they probably
left guard. But
their best player used to play left guard.
Yeah, but maybe they thought they could get away with Cannon while Connolly filled in somewhere else.
So they didn't like
telling
Wendell.
You, they were unsettled for various reasons.
They didn't like Wendell. They tried to move on from Wendell.
At center, for sure.
They like me
it
were
didn't
wrong.
Didn't work.
They like me were wrong. Ryan Wendell has been a part of their best offensive line. Their best offensive line is this five. Ryan Wendell at right guard has been a part of that.
And I will give you
they, like me, thought Ryan Wendell was not a part of their best offensive line.
And we can move past this because we're not going to get into a consensus.
This is better than even a semantic argument. We're arguing facts.
Right.
We're arguing offensive line guys.
But it is part.
That's what you get at PFW in progress. You get good O-line breakdowns.
I think it is interesting to talk about it. And it might be just circumstantial, but they settled on the line that they seem like they like right now. Solder,
sure.
Conley, Stork, Wendell, Vollmer, from left to right.
And everybody has voiced
that. That offensive line has started three games.
Right.
Cincinnati, 43 points. Chicago, 51 points. Denver, 43 points. Now, it's circumstantial, whatever.
So Ryan Wendell is like a 45-point guard.
He's worth 10 points. He's worth 10 points. No, the point that I'm trying to make is the three highest production games on offense, point-wise, have been with those five guys in the starting lineup. I don't think the offensive line has been markedly better than it was. I honestly don't. But it has been better.
But if Brady thinks it is, that's true.
But it has been better.
Right.
And those five have clearly established themselves as the five best they have.
Agreed.
And what did we say? One thing we can all agree on, Freddie, in September we just kept saying, figure out what five you like the best
and just go with it.
Stop putting Cannon in for series at tackle.
Well, but that didn't happen until now.
They stopped doing that last week. Stop putting Jordan Devey in at guard instead of Ryan Wendell. They've stopped doing that. Stop putting Klein out there for various series in the fourth quarter. Yes, some of it was injury-related. You're right, Freddie. Some of those guys were banged up, and Stork and Conley got concussions in between the Cincinnati game and the Chicago game. They had to miss games in between. They missed the Buffalo and the Jets games. But what we asked, you know, not that, you know, we're like throwing our demands around. We all hoped that they would pick five and stick with them,
right?
And that has worked.
But that's not exactly our, you know, that's a long-standing offensive line. You need to pick
five.
Right,
we're told continuity is all about. It's all about.
Josh talked a lot about it yesterday. We're now getting that. They're getting comfortable with the guy next to him in the communication.
He said they wanted to sort of let the process play itself out.
Through some things,
be patient with it.
The thing I am just a little interested in, and we'll never know, is how that lineup came about. Was Googe, you know, trumpeting Jordan Devey and Marcus, you know, did he have a big influence in getting that lineup on the field? Or was that a Bill lineup? Was that sort of how that played out? And who's trumpeting, you know, who argued for Stork to start? Who argued for Wendell to start at right guard over, you know, there's other options. Klein, Devey, those guys are still options.
Yeah.
And we'll never know sort of how those discussions came about.
I mean, to me, the reason why they drafted Stork was because they were unhappy with Wendell at center.
Oh, I think Stork was destined to start this
year. Now, whether or not he ended up being good enough was a big question.
They like Stork better than Wendell. There's no, absolutely right about that.
I mean, in the spring, when we were asked who's going to be the first
impact, I wasn't sure. I mean, he gets
No. Once I saw him, I was dubious. But when we drafted him, I think we all said he has a chance to be the biggest impact rookie.
Right.
He could start right away at center.
Yep.
And then, yes, he kind of pooped himself and ran a lot of laps and got hurt. And there were a lot of hiccups in the summer that sort of...
And he's still, you know, obviously he's a rookie. And he's playing in a very high tempo offense. It puts a lot of stress.
That's an underrated thing. I do think the shotgun snaps have been a little bit iffy. I think Brady
had a great one-handed catch off
Brady's
the side.
Brady's had a few of those here and there. And listen, he's a rookie. You're going to have some rookie mistakes. And I do think that overall, I'm wholeheartedly in agreement.
The penalties.
The group has been better. With Stork in the middle and Wendell at right guard, that offensive line has been better. And we'll see if they can sustain it.
Yeah, I still have fears about Wendell, but I can't argue that he's been good. He's been a solidifying
part. He's better
part
than
of
the
it.
Guys that, you know, I would rather have Mankins here, and I think that probably would have been the ideal situation with Mankins and Conley with Stork in at center, but... They chose to go in a different path.
Forget it. I won't say it. It'll be a very negative question.
What's that?
No, I was just, if you had to rank, if the offensive, it was a problem to start the year. Now, not these guys, but the O-line was a problem that really kind of undercut the offense. If the offensive line becomes a problem again, what is your list of fears? Who would it be? You know, we had Mankins in recent years getting beat inside by pot roast, or you know, a guy could get beat off the. If you sort of
rank
your fears,
more about the inside guys than the outside guys. I think the tackles have sort of settled down a little bit.
Vollmer, I would put as my least fearful. I think at this point of him becoming, unless he gets hurt, but. I like Solder. I always really have.
I like Solder, too, but why do you think he settled down? Is it just because Connolly's next to him and he's more comfortable with Connolly, or what?
Wendell.
Huh?
Wendell.
What about Wendell?
Aren't we talking about Vollmer?
No, I was talking about Solder.
Oh, I have fears about Solder. Vollmer is the one I think settled down. I think Vollmer is good now.
So you think Solder is still a little...
I still have a little bit of fear.
Yeah, there was some interesting numbers that Mike Reese had in a piece on the offense. I don't know if you saw any of this, Freddie. He had the first four games and then the next weeks 5 through 9, and the sacks went from they were getting sacked every 6-point-something% plays down to 2-point-something%, but the pressure went from 26% to 23%, and the time to throw in the pocket went from 2.2 seconds to 2.17 to 2.21.
I don't know how anyone calculates that.
So the pressure the time to throw is how long it takes you to throw the ball.
No, I know, but if a play is designed to immediately get a quick throw, doesn't that skew the whole thing?
No, I think it's until someone gets to him and forces him to throw the ball.
I know, but I'm just saying that if you know, majority of our plays are snap throw, no one's going to have time to get to Brady, right?
I don't really understand what you're asking. I think it's another one of
those things. I just
think
it's one of those impossible things to really make a judgment, time to throw in the pocket.
Well, that's what
it's based on the play call.
I do have that question. Like, if you just throw in 1.7, like it was a design slant and you just hit him, does that actually...
I don't think that's taken into consideration pressure then.
No, I thought it was time to throw.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you guys are asking.
Time in the pocket, basically.
I just was going off of Mike's numbers. I don't know how he calculated.
No, I know. I'm sure
I don't even think
I'm
he
sure
calculated.
He didn't calculate.
That's one of those ESPN, whatever he says.
But
I also have a question about...
The sacks are way down, but the pressure is not way down, is basically the
point. And are the pressures and sa- Are the sacks included in the pressures?
I would assume.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
And I think that's because Brady is, you know, better at, you know, for whatever reason, he decided I'm going to make my own time.
Well, I think both head and feet he's been better.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination.
Absolutely.
He's moved a little bit, but I also think in his head he has sort of dealt with it, accepted it, and
yeah.
And
yeah. Speaking of Brady, yesterday was election day, so they had a little poll on NFL.com. Who's the best quarterback in the league right now? The plurality, not the majority, but most people, or who got the most votes was Brady, 38%, mm-hmm. and then followed by Manning, 20%. Who do you think was number three?
Ryan Mallett.
No.
He was just named starter.
Roethlisberger at 18, and then Luck, and then Aaron Rodgers.
The right now part, I'm surprised that Roethlisberger didn't do
right.
better.
And he wasn't even second. He was third behind Manning. So,
I mean,
he doesn't get the love that
he doesn't.
And because sometimes it gets ugly for him.
I don't think he deserves the love of the other guys. But,
oh, I don't either. But
just based on the right,
really
the right now thing, I mean, 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks is ridiculous.
Right.
Right. But I think just overall, I mean, people who claim that rings matter, I don't think include Roethlisberger as much as they should.
He's got two, right?
Well, there is a growing list of two-time Super Bowl champion quarterbacks that are just okay. They're good players. Jim Plunkett, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. They're good quarterbacks. I don't think they're stiffs, but I don't think they're Hall of Famers because they have two rings.
Well, I think Ben will be a Hall of Famer, don't you?
I do.
He probably will be. I don't think he is one.
And no. I think he's much better than Eli.
I don't. I think they're good players who've had a lot of bad. I think there's a lot of similarities there, actually. A lot of 8-8s there.
Oh, I think who's better, Eli or Ben?
They're very different players. I would take Eli.
I would too. I'd take Ben.
I think they're very different players, but I would take Eli.
Oh yeah, they are different. I think Ben.
I love the element of Ben being able to extend plays, but you know he gets himself in a lot of trouble doing that too.
He does, and you wonder if. You know, they've blamed his offensive line for years, but you wonder if he just gets indecisive and, you know, gets too choosy.
I think he definitely is not very in terms of quarterback, I don't think he's a very smart quarterback, reading coverages and whatnot.
Let's see, Alexandra, speaking of Ryan Mallett, he says he is going to start.
I just said that.
In Houston, but that's definitive?
Yeah.
Because I know he got in trouble for tweeting out that he's ready to go.
Yeah, I actually didn't think there was all that much fire in that tweet.
No.
When I read it, it didn't.
Well,
really...
it does assume that, you know, he's thinking about taking over.
And I think he should. He's a young quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not like he's behind Tom Brady.
I wouldn't
he's
want...
behind a holdover.
If I was a coach, I wouldn't want my, you know, if he was still the backup, I wouldn't want him tweeting that out.
But what did he say? I thought he said, like,
I'm ready to take over.
Waiting for my turn, ready to take over. Like, I don't know. I just felt like it was a lot. Like that's what I want my guy thinking he's ready. Thinking
right,
he
but
is.
But you don't tweet that out after a loss, and you know you just don't do that. I don't think.
Maybe he already knew he was taking over, and the timing just got a little out of whack.
Yeah, but I hope he does well.
It's like
I think it'd be a good story.
Did you see your boy Mike Glennon on his own radio show had to confirm that he indeed is no longer the starter? That's the problem having a radio show when you're not really a franchise
quarterback. And then he just walks out and the new guy takes over.
There's a lot of
and from here on this will be known as the Cade McNown show.
Right.
What is his name? Josh McNown.
Josh McNown, Cade. McNown.
Whatever. Brad. I have trouble with all those names. Brad. Who's Brad?
There's probably a Brad McNown somewhere playing quarterback.
Right? Luke. Isn't it Luke and Josh.
Luke and Cade.
Yeah, Luke.
Josh.
Cade is McCown.
But I confuse that part too. The McNown and the McCown.
I think.
Oh, they're not.
No, not all three. Yeah,
two of them are brothers. Yeah. Luke and Josh are brothers.
Okay.
I think they're McNown, right?
Yeah, McNown, and the other one's McCown.
Yes. Oh.
Cade McCown, who played for the Bears.
And
Lefty.
Had, like, the penthouse playmate girlfriend.
Oh, I did not know about that.
I believe he's the one. Maybe wrong.
All right.
But are you intrigued to see Mallett? Ryan Mallett play?
I am. I hope he does well.
I hope he does well. I don't think he will.
No?
No.
You don't think, like, now, like, okay, I'm the starter, and that could help him with his
reads
decision-making?
And
yeah.
Accuracy.
Yeah,
and
confidence.
No, I don't.
No?
No.
Okay.
He lacks confidence on the practice field, and that's why he didn't do those things?
Well, I'm not the guy, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to be the guy.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm rooting for him.
I am.
He was always a very nice man to me.
Yeah.
Not me.
You're not rooting for him?
No, he wasn't very nice to me.
Crusty.
I'm not rooting against him. I don't really care, but... I don't.
You should care. You're a big Bill O'Brien fan, and if he does well, then that's good for Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I think that would be bad for Bill O'Brien, to be honest with you. I think they need a quarterback.
Oh.
He ain't it.
Yeah, but if he was it, then it would be good for Bill O'Brien.
But as a developer of quarterbacks,
I'm saying if it all puts any level of doubt into whether or not they need to get a quarterback next year, it's bad for Bill O'Brien.
So there's no chance in hell that Ryan Mallett could be the quarterback.
Nah.
I agree with him, but I'm not quite as definitive.
You agree with? I know you agree with me, but it's just, you know,
you'll
make fun of me.
Definitive.
No, I'm rooting for Bill O'Brien.
He's actually more definitive
than
I am.
Right.
I'm rooting
for
Bill O'Brien. He's
given five reasons why he thinks the guy stinks.
Believe it or not, he actually likes Ryan Mallett as a quarterback less than I do.
That's probably true.
I know it's true.
I'm rooting for both he and Bill O'Brien to have success, and I think if Bill O'Brien found his quarterback, that opens up the ability to go elsewhere.
I mean, what do you think the percentage is that Ryan Mallett is his quarterback?
5%.
That's all I'm saying. So don't let a couple of good games Mike Glennon you into thinking you don't have to get a quarterback next year. Is kind of my point.
It's true.
You know, Nick Foles, Mike Glennon. There's a lot of guys that had some success.
By the way,
early
I am Nostradamus. I am Nostradamus.
It's dumbass.
I said in PFW before the season that Nick Foles would get hurt, Mark Sanchez would take over, and do well, proving it was less Nick Foles and more Chip Kelly.
Do we need to expose you?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So before you pat yourself in the back, let's see if Mark Sanchez does well.
Oh, I know.
After throwing two picks in his first game.
Right. Yeah. Nick Foles threw what, three picks last year total?
Two.
Two picks last
27
year.
27-2. Now he has a million this year.
No, I know. But if the whisperer was he not whispering in this game? He's going to start whispering next week in his ear. Right.
But it was funny that Paul Domowicz, who writes a national column for us in PFW, wrote about that last week before the Foles injury, that they were already having all kinds of internal discussions in Philadelphia about moving on from
Foles.
And
now that came out again. Your guy Mike Florio wrote this morning that, you know, there's report out of Philadelphia that they weren't happy with him.
There's report out of Philadelphia.
That they weren't happy
That's
with
Foles, Florio Wright,
you know, before the injury.
Right, because he was not anything like he was last year.
And he's up for contract next year.
I would in no way in hell would I lock my wagon to him.
And
He's not that much different than the other guy that went to Arizona from there.
And they say Chip Kelly wants to position himself to get Mariota.
Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
There's another guy who had initial success and then, you know, you got to be careful with that, you know.
Right, but, I mean, you know, Brady could have been one of those guys, but he wasn't.
Right.
You know, there's the other side of it. You can get a guy.
Let's not get ridiculous.
I'm not calling him Brady, but Brady came in the middle of a year as an unknown, low round, and you think fans were saying, boy, I hope Belichick doesn't fall in love with him because then he'll just think he has a quarterback. Well, guess what?
Well,
he did have a quarterback for 15 years.
If Ryan Mallett...
And he had already fallen
in love with him. If Ryan Mallett wins all the games, they go to the playoffs, win the Super Bowl, I have no problem if Bill O'Brien says, you know what, this is my quarterback of the future. It's a little different there than, you know, having a little bit of success and, you know...
Yeah, but what if he does that?
Then I would have no problem if he said that's the guy in my future. He just won the Super Bowl for me.
What I'm rooting for to happen. Yeah. Sorry, Patriots fans.
All right, I'll be right back.
Oh, now this is where Paul just leaves the show.
Where are you going?
He's got to go kiss some ass.
Oh, all right. Tell No Sucks to schedule that outside of our radio window. Yeah.
Very disrespectful. Aren't you his boss?
Technically, but I don't, you know, wield that type of control. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming writes in at webradio@patriots.com. He says, first off, I've listened to the podcast since the days of the man who shall not be named. Living in Broncos country, you guys are my unbiased source for Patriots news. Everyone deserves a raise, especially Andy. Wow. Finally picked up an iPad.
Can you read that one more time?
Nope. Finally picked up an iPad a few weeks back. Got Patriots football daily since mail is slower than the New Jersey Jets offense. Best $20 value in a while. Where I live is Broncos. This is Broncos that and Broncos this. So he needs the iPad. Main reason I'm messaging is who are the players besides Luck should the Patriots team be wary of? What Patriots players do you feel match up well versus Indy? All can chime in, but really wish Mr. Hart, since he has the only power rankings worth reading. Paul and Homer Fred are worthy as well. Eric will just say negative things.
Hopefully Eric's just getting our pizza.
Right. Well.
What was the question?
I mean, there's a lot of players the Patriots should be wary of going forward. You know, if you just stick with Indy, you know, T.Y. is a good receiver, and of course Reggie Wayne.
Yep. T.Y. Hilton is the one that you
fear. Yeah.
He is a playmaker for Luck. Obviously, you're fearful of Luck. Luck is still a little bit in that mode where he can throw some picks, he can dig a hole, and then all of a sudden, boom, he hits the accelerator in their back. That defense, I don't fear a lot on that defense.
Will Mathis play?
No. Mathis is done.
Oh, I thought he was like...
He tore his...
Oh, he's on IR?
He tore his Achilles patella.
Who's their front guy? Who's their big guy up front now?
They don't have one.
Okay, that's... Okay.
It was Mathis.
Yeah.
But he was suspended because he was lactating or something with that. And then he... during
lactating?
You remember he tried to blame it on like female fertility? I don't even know. Trying to have a baby. But then in training, he tore his, I believe, Achilles, might have been patella, some tendon. No, that defense I have no fear of. The Patriots will score 30-plus points against that defense. You know, they may not get to the 40s and 50s unless they have turnovers or special teams. Do you hear that?
What? No. And their running game, the Colts' running game, they can move the chains, but I don't think you need to fear them with a big play.
Well, Bradshaw's been pretty good. I don't fear the big play with Richardson. He's been a little bit better this year. I fear them more than, say, I feared Ronnie Hillman of running the ball. I think that duo both are more lead-back types and can beat you on the ground. And I still have some doubts about this run defense. I'm not totally sold this run defense is perfect. They've had their hiccups. They've had their good performances.
Alan Branch.
Well, didn't you tell me he stunk?
Yeah,
did you see that caused that comment?
Whenever he tried to, you know, rush the passer, I mean, for a man his size, he was just getting pushed around. You know, and it was all like leverage technique type stuff.
Sort of the story of his life.
Guys were just moving him to wherever they wanted to move him.
Sort of the scouting report that he's lived with since Michigan. Yeah. Like, doesn't utilize his God-given size and abilities enough. I don't really fear the Colts. I mean, it's tough. You're going on the road. Luck is great. Those two things, they can score points on you. But if you ask me which defense do I think is better, I think the Patriots' defense is better. The Patriots' pass defense is better. So I think you're probably going to win that game. You're probably going to have to win a shootout. They're going to score some points on you.
Yeah.
But I'm now comfortable with shootouts because I think Brady, Gronk, and these guys are rolling, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't hear that.
I hear what you're doing now. You're moving your mic around.
No, I have, like, major fuzz.
LT from Adelaide writes in, if you guys could choose only one, would you rather have the 2007 Randy Moss or the 2014 Rob Gronkowski? I'd rather have Gronkowski. I really would. I mean, Moss was a big play guy, and he caught 23 touchdowns that year. But I just think game to game, Gronkowski is tougher to defend, you know, over the course of, you know, the game. I think
that's hard to. I'd take either.
I'd take either, but I mean, Gronk is just so versatile. He can help you in the run game. He can help you with the pass game. Oh man, what are you doing? Jeez. Oh God.
I was trying to see.
All right, let's see.
I'm sorry, I no longer have hearing.
Joe in Michigan. First off, Andy, I'm not a youper. This is from Upper Michigan.
Oh, you're a dooner?
Actually, I live just about on the state line of Michigan and Indiana, right by Notre Dame. Anyway, if the playoffs were to start today, which teams currently holding playoff spots would you most and least want to have the Patriots play? Are we starting that already?
Most want to play. I'll take the Bills. They're in the playoffs right now, right?
Yeah, or the Chargers right now.
I'm still a little fearful of the Chargers. More fearful of the Chargers. I'm more fearful of Philip Rivers. I think they can make some plays. And I think that combination that they have, an outside receiver, a tight end, and a running back that makes plays, that Oliver, the young guy that's sort of the Sproles 2.0, That's a challenge for this defense to deal with in those ways, especially now that you're built kind of.
What about Kansas City? Are you afraid of them?
Yes. I mean, how can you not be?
Right.
Like, how can you not have a little bit of that idea that they're
going to run the ball? And
Kansas City, I mean, Denver. I don't just assume that what we saw against Denver is going to happen again. You still may have to go to Denver. They could still be the one seed.
Every team that could make the playoffs is dangerous.
Well, no. The Bills, I'm not fearful of. The Bengals, I'm not fearful of.
The Bills, you know, were
Dolphins,
only behind
I'm not
by 8 points.
Of.
You know,
that's fine. I'm not fearful of them.
Okay.
I'm not fearful that Ryan Fitzpatrick or any of these Jag quarterbacks are going to beat me. I think you need to have a pretty good quarterback to come in here or even on the road to beat Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. They're going to score points. Now, by the way, I'm basing all of this on Gronk playing. Gronk has to play.
Sure.
If Gronk's gone, then I change my tune on everybody. But I'm fearful of the big guns. The teams, the Kansas City, I still think would scare me. Denver and San Diego. And I'll tell you about the Colts after we see them a little bit
Pittsburgh?
This Pittsburgh-based right now has to scare you. How can they not?
Sure.
The way they've played. But I don't think their defense is very good. I think that's another case of I can outscore you.
Right.
And I'm going to assume Roethlisberger's not going to throw six against me.
Kettle writes in from St. Louis, what do you guys think about how the Patriots will fare for the next 5 weeks? Indy, Lions, Packers, Chargers, Dolphins. I think there's a good chance of going 5-0, especially if we could beat Denver. Only opponent I fear is the Packers. One more question. Was Alan Branch the reason why our run defense was good against Denver? We just talked about that. That's no. It's funny because, you know, this was like a six-game gauntlet, which included Chicago and Denver.
Right.
And now it's in they weren't including the Bills in the Miami game. And now all of a sudden Miami's included in.
I mean,
they should be.
By record, they should be. And by the fact they already beat you once.
Yep.
So whatever they were in between when they had their hiccups, their record and their ability to match up against you are two things that are sort of facts of the season. Now, that being said, I don't really fear them.
Right.
I'm much more fearful of New York, the 1-8 Jets going into New York, Rex Ryan, defense. Now, the state of that team when we get there, who knows? But I still think at home against the Bills and the Dolphins,
I think the Jets game, I think by that time they're just going to be.
But what if it's like a last hurrah or something, somehow?
I just don't see it.
I don't really either, but who knows?
Yeah. And usually I would be like, no, the Jets are going to give us trouble. This time I don't, you know, assuming they don't turn things around, I don't think they will.
But his point is right. It was not too long ago we were talking about 2-4. You might be okay if you made it 2-4 through the stretch. Now I feel like two losses is a letdown.
Right?
I mean, and I think we're all assuming slash hoping that if they lose, it'll probably be to the Packers in Green Bay. It's an NFC loss, doesn't weigh as much. But I just, where they're scoring points right now, I think they have a good chance to win all of them. I really do. Now, the Packers could probably keep pace with you. I can't see them losing to the Lions. They're still the Lions.
Well, I can.
And with the injuries.
Just because of the matchup.
Yeah, but the injuries. What's their health status going to be? Is Calvin Johnson going to play? Is Reggie Bush going to play? Are any of their tight ends going to play?
No, but the problem they give us is on their defense and the pressure they put on Brady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bobby
from Squanum writes in. He says this is a paranoid rant. Hell of a win this week. After a shaky first quarter of the season, this team all of a sudden looks like the class of the NFL. I feel like the last few weeks have just been beyond my expectations. That win over the Broncos was one of the most complete and satisfying games I've seen in some time. All week I've been on cloud nine. I've got a huge smile on my face. Birds keep landing on my shoulder. And every now and then I spontaneously burst into song. I couldn't be happier, which scares the ever-living crap out of me.
Peak too early.
Maybe I'm just being a pessimist or I've been watching too much of Game of Thrones or something, but I just get the feeling that things are going too well for us. It's as if only bad things can happen now. If we lose more than a game, maybe even just one, we lose the top seed. If Gronk goes down, we lose another key defensive piece. If the O-line turns back into a pumpkin, we're screwed. I just wish I could cryogenically freeze myself until the playoffs.
That's cryogenically.
Oh. Don't get me wrong. I love this team. I'm having a blast. But ever since 2007, I've been emotionally scarred. Steamrolling regular season games scares the hell out of me. I want to see some scrappy late comebacks. I don't want the team to get fat and happy, then lose to the Steelers in the second round. Then again, I suppose I'm the epitome of a spoiled sports fan if I'm actually complaining about winning. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win." I just have to remember those immortal words and stay calm.
Now, I don't agree with that. Now, you can argue that maybe they're peaking a little bit too early or that Gronk and the offense are peaking, but this team has already faced adversity. That 07 team didn't face adversity much. They rolled right out of the gates in September, blowing people off the field. The only adversity they faced in victory came late. You know, Baltimore, New York, the finale. This team has already, I think, faced a lot. The questions, the whole, everything going into that Cincinnati game, the Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they need to go through any sort of metal testing mode over the next month and a half to prove themselves.
Nope.
They're going to face good teams, so they're going to continue to prove themselves. If they blow those teams out, guess what? They're really good.
And last year they had plenty of nail-biting come-from-behind wins, and how'd that help?
Right, that set you up to lose in Denver.
Right.
It all is 87, and I continue to say it. The man could have changed history. If he were healthy 3 years ago, they could have won a Super Bowl. If he was healthy in between, they might have gone to and won other Super Bowls. Just think about it. Brady might have 5 Super Bowl rings right now. He would be hands down the greatest quarterback ever. And that's all in the palm of number 87's big old mitts. Do you think I'm exaggerating?
I know you're not.
But do you agree with me?
I think definitely he makes that big of a difference. Absolutely.
So it's phenomenal. He could have altered history. Think of how history would look at Belichick and Brady differently. He would get some credit, but he wouldn't get the credit those guys would because of the numbers, the rings, the number of rings they'd have.
Right.
And, you know, not only did they win it, okay, well, if they won another one, then they went to another one. Now Brady might have 5 out of 6, 4 out of, you know, the numbers are just, and it's all him. It's phenomenal. That's why I think he's a Hall of Famer, and you disagree with me, and Ron Borges disagrees with me. And
well, I think eventually he will be, but I think it's right tough now. Right now.
If a bus hits him during the bye week, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I know, but you can't give a guy credit for stuff he didn't really do.
No, I'm giving him credit for the stuff he does.
When he steps on the field,
he dominates like no other.
It's true, but...
He carries Brady. Think of that. He carries Tom Brady.
Well, Anthony from Toronto, I think it's amazing how the Patriots have followed worldwide. I believe you guys are one of the biggest reasons.
Me too.
I would just like to say thank you for giving Patriots fans a place to come and talk about the team we absolutely love. Would just like to add that the other safety position isn't as big a problem as we all expected. Chung has been playing well all season, including the Broncos game. He gave up the one TD to Julius, even though his coverage was pretty good. Thanks again from all of us Patriots fans. And P.S., the funniest part about the Eric and Paul songs was when Andy was laughing in the background.
Still don't have a song.
Yeah.
Right.
Chung, you mentioned that he's one of your bigger surprises.
I have him as the best, biggest positive surprise for this team this year. We all talked about the safety position. I think he's been really good. I think he's third on the team in tackles. He's been that physical presence. But I also think he's covered better than we saw not only the last time he was here, he's covered better than we saw in the preseason. When I saw the preseason in Zach Ertz and is it Reed from Washington, I thought it was going to be problematic. I thought they were going to have major issues again in the middle of the field. It hasn't been perfect. There have been hiccups early in the season here, but I thought he had maybe his best game in coverage the other night. And, yes, he gave up a touchdown. I thought Manning dropped that into a basket.
Great,
I thought that
great
was
throw.
Tremendous. But, you know, Paul, we actually argued this on the TV show. Paul went with Brandon LaFell as a positive surprise. The thing I think about LaFell is we were given sort of a scouting report from afar that he was slow, too many drops, he was almost a borderline third tight end, and he's none of that. I have been far more impressed with his athleticism, his playmaking ability, run after catch. Chung, it was me. I was basing it on my own 4 years watching him thinking, if he starts at safety, this team's not very good. Well, guess what? He has started at safety, and he's been good enough. And I think communication-wise...
And run support runs, and everything.
But the run support we knew he could do, but communication, he's been in the slot covering...
But even the fact that he stayed healthy doing it...
And that's
huge.
Is
a big
that's
surprise.
That's Edelman-esque. He's 9 games in, and he's been healthy. So I think he's been a really... And I don't think they could have done against Peyton Manning all the stuff they did the other night, moving around coverages... quite as well with Daron Harmon in there or Tavon Wilson or one of the... You have an experienced safety back there who knows this defense, has good communication with McCourty. I think he's been a key contributor.
Comeback player of the year?
No, that's ridiculous.
I know. He didn't really come back from anything.
No, you can't come back from sucking.
I know.
You can come back from an ACL, and that's why Rob Gronkowski should be the comeback player of the year.
Think so?
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
I'm just asking.
Argue against him. Tell me who else should be the comeback player
really
of the year.
I haven't really thought about it.
Who should it be?
I don't know.
It should be Gronk.
Mark Sanchez, if he goes undefeated.
So he's coming back from sucking?
Back from not playing
sucking.
For a couple years.
From sucking. You can't come back from sucking. It should be people who overcome adversity, like injuries and things of that nature. Comeback player of the year, Rob Gronkowski, assuming he
I think when you don't start for a couple years and you come back and start, and if you do well, then I think you're a candidate.
We don't need to have this
you're
argument.
You're a candidate.
It's stupid.
Claudio writes in... Disney is preparing the Peyton Manning biography. It'll be called Frozen 2. Congrats for your show. I became a fan of you when I was at Boston to see the Jets game. Okay. Was that like this year?
I don't know. You're the one reading it. Where was that person from?
I don't know. Claudio, Brazil, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So are we really responsible for spreading the popularity of the Patriot brand?
Yes, I'm taking credit for that.
We don't ride the Patriot brand for our own popularity because that would seem more likely.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline that's starting to heat up. Chris will start it off from Miami. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
You got to do something, Kevin.
Chris.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Chris.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
How you doing?
Really, really good. I feel really good about this team right now.
You should. They're rolling, yeah. Baby.
The only thing that I didn't like about the game, I don't know if you guys didn't see it, but I think Devin McCourty was a little bit late back there. I think
late?
He should have been over the top when that catch by the tight end on Chunk. The catch that they caught over Chunk.
Yeah. The touchdown to Thomas?
The touchdown? Yeah. I think he should have been over the top there.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other side, he should have been there. I believe they made a big catch on the other side. He should have been on top. He was right next to the. I think he needs to maybe take two steps back. Because if we're going to play them so tight in the front, he needs to make sure that he's over the top every time.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know the coverages and the roles.
It's hard for me to say that.
I actually thought the one thing I would have criticized McCourty for, I thought he played a little hesitant at times tackling. It's like he was assuming a guy would go down and then was sort of surprised the guy wasn't going down and didn't really want to throw his body around
in
there.
You think he's still hurting?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's got a bad shoulder. Right?
Or maybe he, you know, realizes he's in a contract year and is trying to just manage the physicality.
No.
I would.
He would never do
would
that.
You?
No.
I would.
I'm a reckless abandon.
Right.
I mean, about the rest of teams. Hello?
Hello?
And then the rest of the teams that we're playing, I mean, Indianapolis, their offense is good.
Yes.
But it's really that good. Their receivers really that good. I have T.Y. Hilton in my fantasy football. And he catches three balls and a touchdown.
Right, he's a playmaker. He's not a possession guy. He is a playmaker. Reggie Wayne, I think, is more of the possession guy now. But I think their receiving core is comparable to the Patriots. They don't have Gronk, but the actual receiving core, I would say, is better. You know, I would take T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne over Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell. But the Gronk is the difference. The Gronk, as Dan Dierdorf would say.
I feel the only team that I feel that I think the perfect scenario for us will be that Denver loses one more game. Obviously, Indianapolis, we win against Indianapolis, win it every other game, and in the last game of the season, we choke against Miami. We lose against Miami.
Why do you want us to choke against Miami?
Why? Because I want us to go on that bye week, number one seed, on a losing game.
You do.
Okay.
So
that's
a strategy.
So we come into the playoffs.
Hungry.
Hungry.
Defensive.
Yeah. All right.
Doubted.
All
underdog.
Right. All right, Chris. Thanks for the call.
I don't like that theory.
I'm not into that well-timed losses or winning too much.
Right.
Yeah. Derek,
it's like we ask, did the bye come at the perfect time because you were in a losing streak? Did the bye come at a bad time because you're in a winning streak? I don't know. Just win. Just play. You know, did they need a bye after Kansas City to play better the next week? Or did they need to be doubted in Kansas City to go on a five-game? They're coming together as a football team. They're playing better. They're executing. Just like every football team in America gets better over the course of the season, they're doing that at a high enough rate to improve more than their opponents.
Let's go to Darius in London. Hey, Darius.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You going to the game this weekend?
Which game?
The
London game. No, I've got better things to do than watch the Jags get blown out, unfortunately.
I'm not sure it'll be a blowout, though, if it's Whedon.
That's a fair point. But, ironically enough, I know you guys were talking about it a bit last week, because you got an email from there, but I'm actually going to Gibraltar tomorrow, and I'll be there.
Oh, you're going to rock.
I'll be there over the weekend. I'm going to the Rock, yeah.
Now, what do you do when you go to Gibraltar? Like, what is the draw, other than there's a big rock?
Well, I go there for work, so I don't really pay too much attention to the Rock, except that it's the fact that it's right there. But it's an interesting place. It's the monkeys, really, that you got to watch out for. Any kind of food that you've got, if you've got food and you go anywhere near a monkey, then, well, you're like Eric in a gay club. He gets jumped all over.
Oh, see now. See now.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
It was good.
What do you got football-related?
Well, football-related, I've been thrown off a little bit there myself. Thinking about the fact that we got some more high-powered offenses coming up, and I'm feeling that we're going to be seeing a lot of defensive backs out in the field again, say you likes of Green Bay, you likes of Indianapolis, even San Diego, even though Rivers is sucking a little bit at the moment. But my theory is you want to have your best defensive backs out there at all times. Wouldn't that kind of include Dennard? I mean, hasn't he just gone off the radar a little bit?
Yeah.
seems like he's been a healthy scratch a lot.
I really thought, you know, before, you know, Browner would come on the field because he was suspended, Dennard was your number two, and Browner would just make that deeper, you know, whether it made Dennard number three, it would just make a deeper core. But he's been leapfrogged by both Malcolm Butler.
Logan Ryan.
And Logan Ryan.
Kyle Arrington has stayed in front of him.
Yeah.
Although Arrington's snaps were down for a couple weeks there. I find it inexplicable. Yeah. I still think he is one of your best four, five, you know, whatever it is. He's active
right.
on game day.
Right.
He's one of your best. Maybe he's got an injury. You know, somebody brought up, could he be in the doghouse? Could there be some issue at play for some reason?
And I heard that, you know, they want him to play slot, and he's just not good at it. So I don't know.
I just think he...
Do you think maybe it's the fact that, I mean, we've seen Butler and Ryan on special teams the last few weeks. Do you think it's because those guys can do more on special teams than Dennard can?
Could be.
I guess it could be. We know Bill's big on four down players and the value of the kicking game, but I'm big on... In my opinion, he's one of your top three cover guys. So that could be just a difference of opinion. He does not agree with me that he's one of my top three.
Right.
But, I mean, the guy has started a lot of games here and I think has been a competitive NFL corner.
But, you know, one of the reasons he started, perhaps, was they really didn't have much alternative. Now they feel they do. And
yeah, but so much so that Malcolm Butler's better than him?
Maybe they think
how
he is.
How do you think... Sorry, how do you think Butler's coming on? Because I thought he did okay against Denver. I mean, I know Mannington targeted him on a couple of times. I thought he grew into the game as it went on.
He was better as the game went on because he started so horrifically and had to be benched in the middle there because Manning saw him and just saw bullseye target, catch after catch to Sanders. I have never been as big a Sanders fan as Paul. I mean, Butler fan as Paul has been. He was feisty in camp. He was physical and competitive.
Yeah.
But I don't put him in anything I've seen anywhere near
as
what
soon
Dennard
as he got
does.
Into the preseason games, you started seeing his limitations. It started with the Redskins
and,
game.
And I didn't think he played that well against Denver. I thought he got targeted and gave up a lot of catches.
Yeah, but hey, I mean, you could be onto something, Darius. It could be the difference between these guys on defense isn't enough where their special teams doesn't, you know, put them over the top.
And I will say that
there as well. Yeah. I was going to say, we really have been making some awesome plays on special teams
over
the course of the last month or so. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it in that respect. Maybe that's the way they see it.
Right.
Maybe.
And Bill, we trust.
And in Butler, we trust because he reads PFW, so we love him.
Right. Thanks, Darius.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Brian from Essex, Vermont. Did you guys see Tangway's article on CSNNNE to not place too much stock in the D because of the Broncos' win? I laughed out loud. He's turning more into Felger every day, raising his voice to try and drown out Gasper, who's making a perfectly reasonable argument. So sad. I think he's really hoping the Patriots fail this year so his window is closed statement doesn't get thrown in his face ad nauseum at the end of the season. He's really he had to do like a monologue where he looked at the camera and said, look, these are my opinions, and I'm going to keep saying them, and, you know, like, because I think so many people were all over his case.
People do get all over him.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he has some controversial opinions. I think what people need to understand, I want to emphasize this. I know people rip, like, they assume he's a bad guy or I hate Gary Tangway. Gary Tangway's a really nice guy. Nice guy.
Yes.
And I want people to know that. As much as he may annoy you with what he writes, what he says, he yells, his voice, whatever it is.
He's a great guy.
He's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
And I can't say that about everybody in this industry.
No.
He's a nice guy.
Austin and Toronto, sorry, Andy, but power rankings worth reading? You'll have to explain to me how you have Buffalo and Miami in your top six ahead of Indy, Dallas, and Seattle. Come on now. Andy's power rankings are not subjective. They're completely
correct.
Based on stats. All he does is plug in numbers, and it spits it out. There is nothing, you know, where he makes a decision, period.
Now, the only decision I made is I came up with the formula. You can say my
formula
is flawed.
Even that is not true.
I came up with the formula.
Based on other people's
No, that's not
advice.
True. I came up with it and asked people what they thought, and very, very, very intelligent football minds liked what I came up
with. Well, that's kind of revisionist history. But
it isn't.
You can.
You don't even know who started at right guard and center for opening day.
If that helps you go to sleep at night, then fine. That's your little story, and you can stick with it.
No, but a couple beers do.
But that's okay. let's go to L.A. Balarco's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Normally, I would talk about the Colts, but since it's a bye week, I was pondering something else. I remember, like, when the draft day was here and everybody was talking about how we need to draft a tight end and we need to get weapons for Brady and tight ends are the best. But I remember there was a report, like, in March by some anonymous general manager that all these tight ends were worthless and they were a bunch of jags. And now, like, 9 weeks in, I think that anonymous guy was right. Like, if I, when I look at Jason Morrow and Austin Seferian, Jenkins, Brian Nicholas, Ebron, Fedorowicz, like, none of them have really done much.
Right. It is, I mean, most people thought it was kind of a weak class, but it has not proven that wrong. It has not been very good. Some of the guys have dealt with injuries. A lot of guys have fallen victim to their negatives. Like,
Amaro just drops balls.
And
right?
That was his question coming out. He caught a ton of passes, but he also dropped a ton of passes, and he has sort of played to that scouting report. He's caught passes, but he's had bad, bad drops. So I thought Ebron was overrated with coming out. I thought he was more of an athlete than a player. People looked at him as a little bit of a project, so you can't just write it off after 1 year. Those tight ends have not been overly wowful.
Yep.
Also, Brandon Browner, like, I was not really happy when they signed him. And even, like, in preseason, like, he was getting beat by this fourth-string wide receiver.
Yep.
But, like, the last two games, like, he has his flaws, all those penalties. But I'm a bit surprised, like, if he does keep playing like this and if he does keep, like, improving our defense, I might say at the end of the season that I was wrong about him.
I think he's going to get better as the season goes along.
He should. And remember, he's three games in.
Right.
You know, everybody else is nine games in. You know, he's where some of these guys were heading into the KC game.
Right.
In terms of sort of the development of the season. I'm intrigued to see where he goes. I'm intrigued to see what he can do in the postseason when given some the ability to play by the officials.
Liberties?
Yes, liberties.
You know, and Revis obviously is the better cornerback, but he doesn't bring the swagger that Tlaib brought. Browner does.
Right.
You know, so the combination of the two of them, I think, really is going to be a big factor going down the stretch.
And it will make for fascinating weeks in terms of zone man matchups, you know, Revis manning up, little receivers, big receivers.
Which again, going back to Dennard, kind of, it's so curious because he was part of that quality depth that they finally had at corner. Not to say that they don't have it now without Dennard, but it just, he was so much, to me, part of that.
Well,
and now he's not at all.
Right, but if they think Butler is better, then they think they even have more quality depth.
Yeah.
Because we got a guy who was a starter not too long ago who's now barely able to scratch the game day roster.
Right. Liam from Philly, I rewatched that hit by T.J. Ward from last week. He pauses for a split second, and then he jumps at Gronk's knee. He doesn't even try to wrap him up. He just tries to torpedo him. Isn't that spearing, a.k.a. what Brandon Merriweather does?
No.
I've always felt like Elway signed Ward because of that hit on Gronk. Too bad it backfired. Ward isn't playing to the same level as last year, and Elway paid him big bucks. F you, Elway. There you go.
Well, he didn't really pay him big bucks. Remember we were talking about how low money he signed for, and we were like, how come the Patriots didn't look into getting him for his physical safety? He only got like $20 million.
Yeah.
I mean, he got like James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather type money.
Also, I was reading...
Not spearing, by the way. Spearing is actually launching your body like a missile using the top of your head as the first
point
of contact.
The crown of your helmet, right. So. Yeah. And that wasn't that.
No, it wasn't anything except a low tackle.
Should we make an executive decision and send me down to go
Well, work? Eric was supposed to be bringing pizza, and I haven't seen it.
Well, it's just, I saw on the schedule it said 12:30, and I just...
Go ahead.
I'll just
go ahead.
Figure out good
Double check. Food. And if you get it, get flavors.
Okay, I'll do it.
Not just cheese.
Do the best I can.
Okay, boss.
I'd
like to say I knew what you said, but my ear still hurts from you blowing my eardrum.
Urine Paul's guy, Sam Munson, on Pro Football Focus, now has revised quarterback rankings, and Brady is now number one.
And do you see how he teased it? Did you see the tweet?
No.
Brady, another Brady story, and he's still not top five or something, and the lead is like, he's not top five because he's the best. He's number one or whatever.
Right.
So he's trying to draw people in again with some anger.
Yeah, and he really didn't back it up very well, like, you know, because people are saying, you know, are you going to admit you were wrong now? And, you know, of course he's not. He's also saying somehow he's elevated his game. And
well, he's had a lot of bad things this year, you know.
Oh, has
Munson.
He?
Munson. He had Revis as one of the players' biggest drop-off. You know who else he had? J.J. Watt as a big drop-off early in the year. Like,
you can't, and I responded to something. I said that this just shows that football is a tough sport to judge by numbers.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a I'm not saying that the sport itself, you have to be a genius to play, but it's a complex sport in that, you know, there are 11 guys doing all different things, mm-hmm. but they have to do them together to make any play work, both on offense and defense. And one guy can screw it up.
And
it's not like baseball where you can go up to the plate and hit a home run, and that's a home run.
And it's not just that the guy has a job to do and he could screw it up and that screws it up for everybody. We don't know the job.
Right.
We don't know. I mean, basically, a couple guys, you kind of know their job. But, you know, there are 8-9 guys on every snap on both sides of the ball that you don't know exactly what their technique is, what their job
right.
is. So to say, you know, it's just so hard.
It is. It's a hard sport. And that's why I've always said it's the only sport where you have guys in the Hall of Fame that don't even have stats. Offensive
right.
linemen.
And it's why I like football, because anybody can play. Not at a high level.
No.
You know, you need to be great to play in the NFL.
But you get the fat kid, you put him on the offensive
exactly.
line.
Exactly. You get the quick kid, you put him here. You get
right.
the fast kid, the strong kid,
right.
the tall kid, the short kid.
Right.
We can find a spot for you and a role for you on a football team if you can put cleats on and a helmet.
And you know, you're willing to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And you're willing to know that hurts a little, but that's not really – you're not hurt. You just got a little pain,
right.
you know, to go through the game, because it's a violent sport. You're gonna
right.
feel pain. But that's why I love it, because you don't have to be
right.
anything special. You don't need this great eye-hand coordination. You know, think of – I mean, basketball, if you can't shoot at some level,
right.
you can't play.
If you can't skate –
Right.
You can't play
hockey.
You know?
If you literally can't hit a baseball, you can't play.
Right.
Like, if you don't have that eye-hand coordination for some, you can't play.
Right.
Football will find a spot for you.
Get in the way.
Right.
You know?
Hit this guy. Let this guy hit you. Tackle this
right.
guy.
Right.
Make this guy fall. Whatever.
Right. So it's you know, and I applaud PFF for what they do. I mean, they really put in the time with every game, watching it, replays and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's very flawed. It's
yes.
very flawed.
And my biggest flaw with them, because I also applaud them for doing the work, my biggest problem with them is the fact that it's not one set of eyes doing it.
Mm.
I think I would give even more credit to it. Even though we'd have the flaws of you don't know the jobs, the play calls, the different things, I'd feel better if I knew there was one guy doing everything.
Right.
Now,
looks at it
it's
the same
probably
way.
Not physically possible.
Right. It's, yeah.
So, but, I mean, when Dante Scarnecchia or Dave DiGuglielmo grade their offensive linemen, they not only have the play sheet, but they're grading them all the same. But on Pro Football Focus, you have Sam Munson doing these 5 games. You have one of the other guys doing these however many games. And they're not the same person. They can't physically see it the exact same way.
Right.
So I think that's their biggest issue.
Christian writes in, wanted to pose this question. All things being equal, are the Broncos really the better team? I've seen this phrase thrown around for the last few years, especially with Paul and Andy, that the Broncos should beat the Patriots if everything's equal, but I disagree.
Lump Fred in there, because Fred agreed with
us. Yeah, I did. We've played Peyton's Broncos 4 times, and this marks the 3rd time we've beaten them. And the 2nd time, we've beaten them convincingly. And the other time, we spotted them 24 points and still ended up winning. I know these games were at home, but this doesn't sound like a team who, all things being equal, we lose to more times than not. I know they're really talented, but I don't think that makes them the better team. I'd say if we had to play them 5 times on a neutral field, we'd beat them 3 out of 5. What do you think?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
And that's Brady and Belichick,
yeah.
I think, put you over the top. I thought Manning looked agitated. I didn't like the look of Manning the other night. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's just the Patriots defense confusing him. I don't know if there's anything to be said for he woke up in his hotel and saw snow, and that planted some seed of doubt immediately. You can't measure that. You'd have to have him on some sort of like a, one of those things, like an EKG all the time and really measure the...
Right.
But I didn't like what I saw from Peyton Manning in that game, almost from start to finish. And I think I said that 2-play stretch where they had to call timeout, then they barely got it off, then he nearly threw a pick. He was frazzled.
Bo in Houston.
Bo.
Great all-around game by the Patriots. Go Patriots. But I do owe an apology to Andy.
Yes.
For doubting how great Gronk is. I knew he was really good, but I thought Andy was being an ultra-homer. But the left-handed catch during the game confirmed that he is truly a great player, and the gospel Andy preaches about Gronk was validated.
Thank you.
I'm on the bandwagon with Andy that if Gronk was healthy, we would have had that one last Super Bowl against Eli Down Syndrome Manning. Brother Andy, okay. I am now a follower of your gospel. Preach on.
You're not quite all the way there yet, because not only would you have that one Super Bowl, you might have more. You wouldn't be referring to that as that one last Super Bowl. You might have more than that. Speaking of Gronk and all the replays of the hit of the left-handed catch,
yeah.
Did you think the thing looked different, less cumbersome?
I didn't notice.
I think there was one like big flap that is no longer there.
Oh yeah.
And you know how it's broken a couple times?
Yeah.
I think they've changed it.
Oh. Okay.
I think they altered it a little.
Could be.
I don't know anything about this. I might ask him today because
could be.
I was thinking about it. But all right.
All right.
You handle the rest of the
story. All right. Food has finally come. So we're going to take a break. It's 106. We got another hour to go here on PFW in Progress, talking everything Patriots during the bye week. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons, so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Here's another great moment in PFW in Progress history.
I got a dog disappointment. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know.
Don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the riot act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
about.
Your
blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yeah. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that? But it's funny, sort of, but like. It's not real. The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right!
He's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago.
Right. Now he's got 3 months.
No, yeah, I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing
him.
Yes.
I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either.
No, I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up. It used to be every February she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
There are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Finish this the right way.
Oh.
21 gun salute for Paul.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric's back, and he was out at practice. And not that attendance is that important this week, but what was going on out there?
Well,
is
my mic on?
Turn your mic on, Eric.
No, it is. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. I guess good news in that Chandler Jones is still the only Patriot who's not out there. They were in full pads today.
Oh.
On their one and only on-field practice of the week. I did see Dominique Easley. We got to see a couple of drill periods, which was a little rare treat.
And a very special practice.
It was a very special Patriots practice.
Right.
And it's a nice day out, so that was a nice treat. But
was Giardi on his beach towel?
He doesn't come out to daily practice. He only does.
Oh, Mr. Big Tom,
I don't know why he turned British all of a sudden.
I'm too busy at the Hard Rock Cafe.
But when they broke out of the stretching period and went into the drills, Dominique Easley was getting some medical attention way at the far end of the field. What looked like right leg. Mm. It was hard to tell whether, you know, what part of the leg it was, but it was certainly the right side that was being focused on.
So he started and then he got hurt?
Or needed something extra or whatever, but he wasn't taking part in any of the drills when they
it's just his boxers they're riding up on him.
Way down there.
Remember when we thought that's why he walked funny, because his boxers were riding up on him? Yeah. Then we realized he just walks funny.
Okay.
Good news, Paul didn't die. I was starting to worry that maybe he died on the way to All Access and he'd been gone so long, but he is alive.
Paul's back.
Grabbing a plate.
I am back.
Anything else at practice worth noting?
Just that.
Can't shake your head, Eric. We're on radio.
No, I'm just trying to think that we saw some wide receiver pass catching drills. Danny Amendola dropped one pass.
Oh, come on. Stop dialing dirt on the poor guy.
I'm just trying to find things to point out. They were working on punt team on one side of the field, they were working on D-line blocking drills. I mean, it was all just individual or position group type things. So we didn't really. You know, it was nice to be out there to see more than what we normally see, but there wasn't anything of note other than, you know, the Easley thing, I think, was the only noteworthy.
As your song said, come on, Bill, let me watch a drill.
And, of course, we don't know for sure, but we assume that this is it for them this week, right? They're off. So I think the CBA requires them to have four days off during the bye.
Yeah, and we do know. Don't
well, there's the media were off from here on till next Tuesday.
Yeah, so we would assume, we would assume that that's also the case for them.
Okay.
And all Brady said they were, you know, all the youngins were excited to get away. So they're getting away.
Yep. I mean, if I was a coach, this would be the time of the season I'd be most worried. Is they're gone. They're letting off steam. Who's going to be the first one that gets pulled over? You know, I wouldn't be able to help myself from thinking that.
Or even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, injury, like drinking, and who knows what goes wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what isn't that. The
or if
old
you really
Will
do
McDonough?
Get away, like, well, how any troubles getting back?
Well, right. I tell this story. Will McDonough, who used to, you know, for the young people, they don't remember, but he was the columnist for the Boston Globe. I mean, he had his hit list. He'd help people. He'd hurt people.
You might remember him on NFL Today. He would
do
a lot of stuff.
I mean,
he was
the first insider, really.
Yeah,
he would call owners and GMs directly before the draft, but he was the guy. So he told me the story back when Belichick was the coach of the Browns. He was friendly with Belichick because he knew him through Parcells and all this stuff. And so he was out in Nantucket golfing with Belichick in the off season. And Belichick goes up to the tee and to address his ball, and he gets ready to drive. And all of a sudden, Belichick backs away from the ball. And it's like, God, you think you just don't know what's going on. And McDonough's like, Bill, what's wrong? He goes, you know, you think you know what these guys are doing, but you just know they're getting in trouble right now. And McDonough says, you can't worry about that right now. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You are not going to last long in this league if every minute you're worried about what your guys are doing. But it just shows that, you know.
So
not
even
just
on the golf course, he couldn't relax.
Yeah, he couldn't relax. He was worried about what his guys were doing and what kind of trouble they were getting into.
And it's at every level. When I went and talked to Dartmouth, I won't use names or anything, but after I spoke, I was hanging out with the coaches in the locker room, and the coach had to bring in.
It's never stopped you before.
Six different guys for issues that had come up during that week.
Oh, yeah.
At school. One, you know, there was maybe some bullying, this girl, that girl, switch from one boy to the other. And that's what you deal with as a coach, because you have 40, 50, 90, depending on the, you know, college, guys that are.
Yeah, balls
dealing
of
with
testosterone and hormones.
Hormones, testosterone, alcohol, women.
Right.
You know, at this league, you add money into the mix. And
sure.
Yeah, it's not a I could see why you would need a little Pepto-Bismol at night.
Right.
Heck, it's like being a parent, except you have 90 of them instead of two.
Yeah.
And they don't live under your roof. You can't watch them as much.
Yeah.
You don't hold as much over their head.
That's right. It's like, even if you're a dorm RA, at least you're in the dorm with them.
Right.
You know? These guys go off and they're gone.
And this week they go off to all corners of the country.
Right.
You know, there'll be guys that are in islands in the Bahamas. There'll be guys in Florida, California. Yep. Lord only knows.
Imagine that.
That is tough. You should put like those. You should be able to put the trackers on them. Like the criminals
have.
Little bracelets.
Ankle bracelets.
That's a good idea.
Bill's listening. He's like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
I like it. Put a chip in their iPad.
Oh, I'm sure they already have that.
Yeah. Let's see. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, writes in, we have games on our local channel here in Sweden with two Swedish hosts, maybe the ones that interviewed Eric. Either way, they suck so bad. I pay the $280 a season for the NFL Game Pass. Money well spent, especially after listening to them on Sunday. They went out to a bar for that game. Both of them diehard Bronco fans, beyond tedious. I also got into it with one of them on Twitter, basically told him he's a troll. Swedish NFL studio, check.
I like it.
Yep.
Well, I don't know that it's really all that professional for them to openly be rooting for a team.
I was thinking that was just sort of like, you know, the thing.
What?
They're really rooting for a team?
Like Nance was.
Yeah, he was rooting for...
That's what I thought.
Well, he was rooting for a player. He's rooting
just
for
Manning.
Manning,
yeah.
So that's kind of what I thought she was talking about. But you might be right. Maybe they were actually had to go to a bar after the game.
Tony says Sam Munson's new article is not enough. He should actually have to eat crow on camera. So
bloody crow.
I'm not
a murder of crows.
I'm not familiar with Sam's new article.
He now has Brady as the number one quarterback.
Okay.
And he like on Twitter, he sent it out with a tease like, Brady's still not top five. And then like the lead is, that's because he's number one. He's not top five.
One is part of five.
He was trolling for clicks. Tricks for clicks. It's the business we are in. All of us.
Mike in Virginia Beach has a question for Paul. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, listen, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
Listen.
I'm listening.
Oh, listen. When somebody says listen.
Oh, no.
He's mocking Paul.
Mike's my guy.
Oh, okay.
Mike's my guy that wanted to, you're the one that wanted to tow my car, right?
No, I'm not that guy.
Oh, all right. Good.
No.
Another guy. Stop listening.
Another guy from Virginia who wants to
kill me. Do the Bears stink?
The Bears stink, yes.
Do the Broncos stink?
The Broncos do not stink.
Here's the question. What happened? Somewhat similar games, similar scores. When I watched Pittsburgh beat a really good team and thought, I wonder how that happened. I was just glad that we beat a pretty bad team. And then this week rolled around and I went, that's not what I expected at all. Now I have to say, I was a little warm and fuzzy inside after the interception with the hit on Welker. And I know that's not probably hugely popular. But last but not least, Ayers, where did he come from?
Wait a minute. Why did you feel good
Tennessee.
About the Welker hit?
I just hated seeing him go.
So you wish ill upon him?
Not necessarily wish ill, but, you know, if you take an extra little pop here and there, it's really not all that bad.
Fred, you agree with him, don't you?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all. No. I don't want to see Welker get hurt. No way.
I don't want to see him get hurt. I just think, you know, Brady might not have hung you out like that.
If somehow T.J. Ward right. went down.
I let you have your little fun. He got hung out on that play?
Well,
the ball hit him in the chest.
But he did have to turn around a little bit. It was very similar to that.
Oh, my God.
that ball was a little bit behind him. A little bit.
It was a little bit.
Yeah, but he should have caught it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flat out drop.
Yep.
I'm just questioning, like, wishing him to get lit up and, you know, pulling his vertebrae out of his poo.
He's already, you know, teetering on the edge.
He's done. He's not teetering. He has suffered long-term damage. There's no doubt in my mind. He is done. He is goo.
I said warm and fuzzy. I didn't say I like, you know, cheered. And
yeah, I think that makes you what I would call bad person.
Oh.
Warm and fuzzy watching a guy just get, like, decked.
He was folded. Okay.
You shouldn't feel that way.
Who was going to make the T.J. Ward comment? Because would you feel good about that if you saw T.J. Ward get...
Yes.
Wait. Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on. No. I got a better one for you. Bernard Pollock.
Yes.
Lit up.
Ulf Samuelson. All of them.
No, I wouldn't. Really? I'm not looking for Ulf Samuelson.
Ulf Samuelson,
yeah. Because he's an a-hole. That's the difference.
Okay.
Welker's not an a-hole.
You found one, Mike. Ulf Samuelson works
didn't we talk
for
about
James
Bernard...
Harrison, I would say, because he's an a-hole.
But also, didn't we talk about Bernard Pollard? There might be a reason why he's on a different team every year.
He's not that good.
And Dominican Sue.
Wow. Dominican Sue, I mean, has he done... I mean, he had his early...
He's been pretty dirty. He's dirty.
Really? He's a dirty guy.
Okay.
Dirty.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing someone take a cheap shot at him. Within reason. Not like what Terrell Suggs did the other night, but...
Yeah, Suggs is a guy I wouldn't really feel bad because I think that would be what goes around comes around. But I don't put Welker anywhere. I mean,
no.
Eric, you want to see Welker get hit?
At worst, Wes Welker has a smart mouth. That's it.
And if you know, I'd be the last person to criticize somebody for that.
Right.
You got a smart mouth, boy.
I just think he got screwed. He like by the system and bad luck and never got the payoff he probably should have. And playing in the NFL for this long has cost him.
It has a portion
of his life and the quality of life.
Quality, and more important,
All right, thanks, Bad Mike.
There's no doubt he's going to die younger than he would have, in my mind.
Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up, Drew?
It's been a while since I called. I think it's been about a month. And the last time I called, I was saying, like, how, you know, our offensive line wouldn't get better because of the personnel issue. But they're doing an unbelievable job now for this past month, and it's incredible to see. But I don't know if it's going to last long if we don't get this running game going. Otis couldn't really run the ball that well. And do you think there's anything we can do right now if we can find someone to help with this running game?
You mean a ball carrier? You want a running back?
Like, Chamberlain wasn't really running the ball well. Neither was Jonas Gray. I just want to know, can we sign someone now that will help us?
Well, I don't think it was a product of the ball carrier. I think it was the blocking in front of him that was to blame.
And Denver's defense is pretty good against the run.
Denver has a
good run defense. Yeah. I mean, Jonas Gray had 86 yards the week before against the Jets. I mean, it's...
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking if we can just get someone in there to help. I don't even understand why we didn't have Bolden helping. I know we haven't been sold on his performance, but I thought it would have helped some if they allowed him to get some reps.
It is
so
funny.
So you don't think it was because of the blocking. You think it was because of the ball carrier. You think if you changed the ball carrier, you would have had a different result.
Actually, I do agree with you. The blocking, I haven't been sold on the run blocking since the preseason. Even in the preseason, I wasn't sold on the run blocking, and I think they need to do a much better job with that.
Yeah, actually, right about that, because even in the summer. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Andrew.
If we had a running back that could make guys miss in the backfield, that would help too, because, like, I think Andy was saying, like, Chamberlain is not that playmaker. He don't make guys miss. He's not shifty, and neither is Jonas Gray.
Yeah, I'm an expert at looking at the run game and seeing where the runner should have gone. I think that whether it was Jonas Gray or Vereen, where the play was intended, there wasn't much there. Now, could a good back like Adrian Peterson bounce it from there and find it? Yes, but where I think the play was intended to go, I don't think the blocking was that great.
And I don't think we can even at this point. I don't think Jonas Gray is that guy that's going to bounce it. But I also don't think at this point in your career as a practice squad call up, you're doing a lot of bouncing. You're going exactly
right,
where they tell you to.
Yeah.
No, regardless of your running style, I think you're doing what they tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And then
I agree.
The liberties come later. Okay, you've had a couple good games. Now I can freelance maybe.
Right.
And I still don't think Jonas Gray is going to make his money doing that.
If I get dropped for a loss going the hole they told me to go, that's one thing. If I get dropped for a loss trying to freelance, now they have
you're
a reason
effed.
To be mad at me.
Right.
Or worse yet, bounce one outside and then fumble as a result.
Right.
Or something
I didn't
like
want
that.
To mention fumble, but yes, absolutely.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that since Ridley went down.
Let's go to
Do you
Dan.
Know that was Jackie Britton's bold prediction for the season? That Stephen Ridley would not fumble this year.
Well, she might be right.
No, she is right.
Yeah.
She is right.
Right.
He's out for the year.
Yeah,
there's no
right.
might about it.
Actually, might be the greatest show ever because my bold prediction was Gronk would play 19 games.
Yeah.
We're well on our way to that, too. That was a good show between, what did we call it?
Whatever. Hey, there. Dan, how
the
you doing?
The Boob and Jackie.
Gentlemen, we got a situation here in Foxborough.
Uh-oh.
I think we need to file a missing persons report for the real Patrick Jones.
No, we don't want to find him. We want this guy.
No, we want him to stay lost. Maybe he was on Malaysia 611 or whatever that flight was. Too soon?
Very good. Good point. But, this is one of the first games in a while where I come out of it having very few yeah buts. And, I mean, you guys know me. I thrive on those yeah buts.
Yes, you do.
I feel yeah buts all over my cereal. So, but I just want to look forward to the Colts game a little bit, and then I have a little comment on Mr. Tanguay. You'll indulge me.
Of course.
Okay. So, on the Colts game, I've watched it. I've watched a few Colts games this season, and as good as they played on defense this past week, I don't think you can play that way against Indy. And I'd like to see, this is another game where I'd like to see more press coverage, especially on Hilton, because, he's definitely better this year, but from what I've seen, I think he still needs to prove to me and everybody that he can catch passes with guys draped all over him. And I think if you're playing zone, you're kind of playing right into his hands. But fortunately, I think you can definitely afford to press him because, the tight ends, Allen and Fleener, they have a fair number of touchdowns between them, but they're not really a factor in between the 20s. So I think that kind of plays into your hands a little bit since you tighten up in the red zone. And I expect Jamie Collins to come down to earth a little bit too, because I know a lot of guys were saying, oh, like, he's driving this game because they had him just moving forward and backward. I think both linebackers are going to have to move a lot more laterally in this game, especially when you're dealing with Luck potentially, you know, running out of the pocket. And you're not going to be able to run over Ahmad Bradshaw like you did Ronnie Hillman. He's a totally different animal, both in the passing game and in the pass blocking game. But they could do poorly against all those things, and I think, like you said, it might not matter because they'll probably just score more points than them. But you shouldn't sleep on them.
I agree. But I think the last thing you said, you'll score more points.
That's how I feel about it, too. I mean, we can get into our predictions next week, but that Colts defense is not very strong.
You know who said that?
Everybody.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
The other night when he was previewing Monday Night Football.
He was?
Oh, yeah. He was pumping.
Why?
He was pumping some new space movie.
Oh,
and then they asked him for a prediction, mm-hmm. and he was, like, really detailed in his talking about the Giants and the Colts and the this and the that,
really?
And I was like...
Was he out of this world?
I told Fred, you know, it's not fair. The man's a talented actor. He's, you know, a heartthrob. He's better at our job than us breaking down football. It's just, it's not right.
Did he say, I thought the Colts defense was bad before it was cool?
I don't even know what that means.
Didn't he say it was Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does those commercials for the Lincoln where he's like,
I hate those commercials. I don't really care for him in general, the whole naked thing, and I don't wear deodorant, and I'm just great.
He doesn't wear deodorant?
He's kind of a douchebag. No, that's the word.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't have to, though. He doesn't stink. his sweat don't stank.
All right.
Wait, you didn't cut him off. He's got a Tangway argument.
I didn't cut him off. I just want to get past Matthew McConaughey.
Very, very good call on that one. But on Tangway, okay, I'm sure he's a great person, and I would never, like, go out of my way to be mean to him. But what bothers me about Tangway, especially this year in particular, is, and I think this is also indicative of, if you're going to listen to a Pats postgame show, the one to listen to is the Xbox One postgame show.
Thank you.
Preach it, bruh.
But what bothers me about Tangway is the flip-flopping, or, like, the incredible reactionary attitude he's had towards the Patriots this year. After the Jets game, his comments about, oh, it's over, like, they're never going to get any better, this is what they are, it wouldn't bother me so much if, at the beginning of the season, he comes out after the Miami game, where they played, I think, much, much worse than they did in the Jets game, coming out and saying, oh, you can't trust to play on the field. Like, look at what they've done for you and me, you know, all the Super Bowls they won 10 years ago. You can't trust to play on the field. And then not even half a season later, after a Jets game, which, by the way, I thought they should have lost that game. It was a fluky play that resulted in the win, but the 48-3 games against the Jets, those are the outliers, yeah, especially
correct.
In the last
that's
years.
True. Like, that's very true. Yeah,
the Jets play the Pats hard. It's usually always a tough game. Even in 07, they didn't blow them out both times. The
right.
second time was a low-scoring game.
And remember, the butt fumble game is a big one that we all remember, but mm-hmm.
It is an outlier.
Those are outliers.
There will be another outlier in December, however.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to kill
them. They're going to lay a smack
down.
We
talked about that earlier, yeah.
So just to come out after that game and say, well, after this game, the window is closed and they're not going to get any better, it strikes me as just incredibly reactionary. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, I was wrong, the window's back open again. Well, why? You know, I mean, I think their chances are a lot better after that game, but they've gone on stretches where they've been blowing people out after a really bad game. Why is this week different? Why is the window suddenly opened again? Can we judge the play on the field or can we not, is what I'm asking Tangley. Like, which is it? And that's all I got to say about Tangway. You guys have a good game, good rest of the week.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, there is an element of you can't overreact, and Dan's pretty rational both ways. He's sort of down the middle. But there's an element of, you know, we all were guilty of it. We all overreacted probably after Kansas City. But those people are all now forced to apologize. But it's fine if you're overreacting after the win over Denver.
Right.
But on the positive side, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Well, I think it's both ways. I think when
Dan just said it is both ways. He doesn't understand why now all of a sudden the win. We've seen them play well, but I think most Patriots fans are like, see, yeah, Trent Dilfer, what do you got to say now?
Right.
You know, and it's almost like you're demanding an apology from everybody.
And also when the homers like me, you know, when the Patriots don't play well, people are all over us saying, you know, see, they stink. You know, Belichick stinks. He can't draft. And so you hear it both ways. You know,
I just think people in general.
Yes, but you're only asked to, no one's calling the people out for talking about the win.
Well, you got to wait till they stink again.
It is kind of weird to say.
Don't you think? Isn't that when it would come? If they say they lose three in a row, they lose to the Colts.
You don't think there were people that were all over Trent Dilfer the day after he said that stuff?
Yeah, there were.
They were killing.
Probably. Yeah. But, I mean, I think this is where I get into. I think you hear certain things, but I think the general, like the overwhelming voice, would criticize these people now after they lose three in a row.
Oh,
if
sure.
If they go
but,
on a three,
but,
then they'll say, maybe
Dilfer.
You also shouldn't rate a team after it has a little winning streak either.
Right, but even after Dilfer, that next day, I was saying, geez, I hope this team takes this as their they hate their coach moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope they use that as fuel to, you know, motivate them, you know, and obviously hope he's wrong. But
most people believe he wasn't wrong, that Tom Brady was wrong, because that he just was puppeting whatever Tom Brady told him on the field. That's what the Felger angle
whatever.
Was. You know, I haven't heard much of that.
Level. I just think it's very dangerous to make a statement like that against a team like this so quickly. You know,
why is it dangerous?
You get killed in a game, and they're not good anymore. They're soft. You know, where do you come up with that?
See, I think that was an overreaction.
Right.
I think a lot of what we've heard this week has been overreaction.
No,
to a great sure. performance against a very. I would say a great team.
But it's
they had a great performance against a great team, and I think people have overreacted.
But it's all a balancing it. It's a counterreaction to
what
they hear, the naysayers saying they stink now. You know, so it's
I think they still would have had that reaction if there hadn't been Monday night meltdown.
But there wouldn't be any of the C. It's all counter.
No, but that's not what I'm not talking about the C. I'm talking about this is the Super Bowl champion now. That's the reaction that you're getting right now. This is the inside
best
track,
the
number
AFC.
One team, best team in football, top of the power rankings. This is what I'm not talking about. The demanding of the apology from that's a separate thing.
Yeah. But that's what we do. That's why we've done it with so many other teams.
I agree. I think we've overreacted both ways.
It went so far that people were even willing to give up like 25 years of Dallas Cowboys history and say, no, this is the year they're rolling. They've got it figured out. Like that's what we do, and I think we do it in politics and news, and you react to whatever
the
moment.
But you
is.
Only get you criticized for doing it after Kansas City. You don't get criticized for doing it now. Because I'm as guilty of it as anybody. Andy and I were walking out to the parking lot. We were legitimately discussing Arizona week, and I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to make it like superficial for the radio. And I was actually saying to Andy, so like. We're going to go back to Arizona. I was really saying this as we were walking to our car. So I'm as guilty of it as any of the so-called yahoos.
And I was humming Katy Perry, baby.
That I might be making. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm one of you. I did it after Kansas City. I was guilty of saying, wow, this team's just not very good after Kansas City.
Because they weren't.
But they weren't. And I did it Sunday after the Broncos game. I'm with the majority. I think this is the springboard, and they're off and running. I do feel like that. My point is, I got made fun of for my Kansas City view. I'm not going to get made fun of if I'm proven wrong about my Denver view.
But you would outside of New England.
But if you came out,
I'm talking about our people.
Well, obviously people aren't going to make fun of you for saying the Patriots are good in New England, within Patriots Nation.
If you were like a Patriot honk in New York, as soon as the Patriots were bad, they'd be all over you making fun of you.
But you're not going to get that inside the borders of Patriot Nation.
Right. You're in New England.
I just think there should be some consistency. That's all.
I know, but you want to live in this neutral, field of fandom.
I just got finished telling you that I am right there.
I know you are.
I think that win was
unbelievable. This is natural.
I can't believe they blew them out like that.
Yeah. This is natural.
And we could be saying something completely different a month from now.
So is what Trent Dilfer said after the Kansas City game.
I don't think it's right for a national guy,
he's
the best.
This is Paul's point.
It's one thing when
Fred,
fans,
there you go.
It's one thing when Colin Radio says it, but when a guy who's supposed to be an expert, is talking about the Patriots who have had unprecedented success over the last 15 years,
But that's what we talked about. Remember when we talked about if you believe in them, you trust the resume more than what your eyes have seen through a month of football. 25% of the way through a season, you had to believe in a resume, not a examples that you saw on the field.
Yeah, that's,
right. Trent Dilfer doesn't have to do that. He has to say,
"That's all I'm saying."
I'm 25% of the way through the season, and this team doesn't look very good. They're 2-2. One of their wins was a putrid win over the Raiders, and the other one was against a team that lost its best player 2 days earlier.
But that's not what he said.
They're not very good anymore.
That would be, I would agree with that. But Steve Young said, they're not good anymore. They're soft.
That's what they were.
But
they were.
No, that's sports radio talk. That's a fan calling into a sports radio. That's not a national analyst that we're supposed to trust their opinion. That's not what they should be doing.
I just want to thank you for making my point exactly. You said it much more articulately than I ever could.
It would be just as bad as if he said after this game, you know, the Patriots are, there's no one that can beat them. They are, it'd be just as bad.
But my point is, if that gets proven to be wrong, you're not going to hear the vitriol.
Yes, you will. By
no,
the,
you won't.
Not by New England fans, because obviously
right,
they love
others.
That. But you'll hear it from Kansas City fans or
fans
Denver fans.
All
of
that.
Course you will.
The one thing I agree with you on is
we
that.
We think that Nance hates us. The rest of the country thinks Nance loves the Patriots.
Right.
It's just a matter of perspective.
But the one thing I will agree with you on.
Apples to grapefruits.
Is Trent.
No, but it's true.
It's Jim Nance.
But I'm just saying that our perspective is different because we're in New
can
England.
Can you let him talk?
I just want to say the one thing I agree with you on is Trent Dilfer, because he portrays himself as Mr. X's and O's, Mr. More Cerebral.
He's a douche.
And he should not have the knee-jerk reactions. I think you have, and he may be naturally cerebrally douchey.
Like he, I think you know, that's his problem.
For example, I don't want this to be a shot at Matt Chatham, but I think he is in that ballpark, which is a separate ballpark from me. I am reactionary, douchey in my own way, but I'm emotional. And for Trent Dilfer, you're supposed to tell me why I shouldn't be reacting right now, or don't just give me the, as you said, the talk radio. I think some guys, that's fine. That's what they do. Yeah. You know, Mike Ditka is an emotional ex-coach player type, and if he wants to come out and say, they're just not very good right now,
right.
Like, and just make noises, okay, that's good. But Trent Dilfer, you tell me all the time, like Jaws, how much film you watch, and you break this down. Don't just say they stink right now.
I've been telling you, and no one wants to listen,
right.
Who the best quarterback? The best quarterback in football is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
End of story. I don't want to hear anything else about it.
Right.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Right.
And by the way,
he's a douche.
He is.
And
by the way,
he's a condescending douche.
You know, when I say that sports talk
Trent
radio
Dilfer,
stuff,
I just want to clarify.
Trent Dilfer.
I love sports talk radio. I think that stuff should go on sports talk radio. The last thing you want on sports talk radio is reasoned talk.
But now,
4 hours.
Now
you want emotional guy.
But,
you know.
But you want it on TV too. Because a long pregame and postgame. You can't just have cerebral, pompous, douchey. You need some emotion and some energy, and that. So that's where that fine line is.
But,
is he a tape driven analyst, or is he a talk driven?
But the point
entertainer?
Is, when Steve Young says they're not good anymore, they're soft. The rest of the country is like, yeah, finally.
Right.
Yeah,
and
see,
in New England, we're like, you're an idiot.
No, in New England, I think.
No, in New England, we're like, because Brady told him to say that.
I still think there's some truth to that. You can snicker on.
Yeah, I don't. I thought it was ridiculous at the time.
They had a talk.
I absolutely
it's more ridiculous now. I know they had a talk. I saw them talk.
But if,
I don't know what they talked
but
about.
Tom Brady did not say we're not good anymore.
No.
He said I need some help.
There were individual things.
Can't do it alone.
Right.
National guy watching 32 teams. No. Didn't come up with them on his own.
Good talk. Chad from Atlanta.
They were too specific.
Like what?
To just have been like taken out of the air about the money and the cap and the weapons and the pattern of drafting. They were just two specific things.
I think their arguments we hear all the time.
From people who cover the Patriots.
Or from fans or from anybody. I mean,
yeah, well, people who are following the Patriots and know
way.
The ins
They're supposed to follow the
Patriots. Let's put it
this
way.
They're not.
Way.
They're national
but
guys
not to
that,
the
that superficially
no, no,
cover
but,
the league.
But let's put it this way. What Paul said has been talked about nationally as a criticism of the Patriots. But let's just say maybe those things were brought up to Brady and he didn't actually deny it. He kind of maybe just didn't say anything.
I agree with you, Fred. There's no way that Tom Brady said, we're just
like
not good
right
now.
Right. He didn't say that.
We're soft.
But he,
put all the
he
info
may not,
in the question and then said, yeah.
He
right.
May,
so said the player.
When Dilfer said those things.
Of all people. He did an Andy Hart.
You know, all it would take for Brady when he heard those things from pregame, say, yeah, I don't know. As long as he didn't deny it, they're going to run with that. You know what I mean? And it becomes part of the narrative and who cares.
It's okay.
Chad from Atlanta. Andy, what post-game show was it when you kept saying losable when looking ahead to the games and the schedule? Not that I'm calling you out on those predictions.
It was after Kansas City.
I'm just trying to remember what game it was, and do you still think that?
We called like 9 of 11. Yeah, 9 of 11 were losable.
Yeah, I guess it was after Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty much every game in the NFL for every team is losable.
Oh, sure.
So it's not,
but when you play that game, you look at it.
See, there's a couple of games that we had on the losable list then that I wouldn't have on the losable list now.
Which?
Like Buffalo and Miami.
See,
Fred fears that.
I don't agree with you.
I don't think they're losing games now.
You don't think
now.
I think they're all losable.
And I also,
yeah.
I think the Jets game at the Jets was losable.
That's the one.
Was losable 2 months ago when it's no longer losable.
We were talking about that,
losable.
Paul, before you got here. Assuming that they don't turn things around and go on this hot streak, I think the Patriots are going to walk all over them. And that's the one game that I don't think.
I just have a fear that that's their last. Somehow they, you know.
Oh, it won't matter.
Rex, we know you're out, but we're going to send you out with a Patriots
win. It
won't
matter.
Yeah, to Eric's point, upsets can happen, and you can lose to anybody. And the Patriots have had a horrific loss pretty much every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, going back to even the glory days when
they lost to
a 1-11 Miami team on Monday Night Football in Miami. No, they haven't had. They lost to two decent teams.
No, but it was a horrific loss in Kansas City.
No, but they were a good team. I'm talking about a 5-11 team.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
but the only one you could is the Jets.
Yeah.
Right now,
because
they're all
what
like,
I'm saying, like
5-6 win teams.
But Eric's saying
it was a horrific
all games
win
in the NFL are losable.
It was a horrific win against the Raiders.
You can
Fred's
lose
right. You had your horrific win. Could have been a horrific loss.
Well, they had two horrific wins. You know, that and the Jets game were terrible performances, and they found a way to win them both.
Right.
They're terrible.
Right.
They're all losable. See, I don't think they're all
losable. I don't think they're all losable anymore. I think that the road games are losable to Indy, Green Bay, and San Diego, but that's about it. I think the other games are not losable. And I would have said 4 or 5 weeks ago, Detroit at home, that was losable.
Just a quick side note. I know the never goes away Tommy Kelly story. Did you see those quotes from?
Is he still talking?
Well, no. I want to say it was the coach. Defensive coordinator said, "Just thank Bill for me."
It was Brenson Buckner.
Brenson Buckner. Remember the player from the Panthers is now his position coach, and he said, "Be sure to thank Bill for me."
That's perfect when we see them in the Super Bowl.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good. That would be good.
Remember
that.
I will not get made fun of for saying.
On their home turf.
You too.
If it doesn't
remember
happen.
It.
You too.
Because I can't remember those types of things. You too remember it.
I'll be barely there.
I'll be in media day saying.
Make the plane.
Paul, wasn't there something, Kelly?
Didn't somebody say something about something.
And
Quinn Buckner.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Like Fred does the other day in the press box when he started here and ended up at a logical point. But he got there through Lord knows how.
It's a circuitous path.
Yes.
Speaking of old-timers, I got followed today by Henry Thomas. Remember Henry Thomas?
Mm-hmm. Hank!
Oh, yeah.
Why is he following
Snappy
you?
Dresser.
Is it really him?
Yeah. I checked it. Yeah.
Snappy Dresser.
Did you say hello?
No, I didn't really know him.
Oh, I didn't either, so.
Very funny guy. He was one of the class clowns. Back then, we could ride the bus with the players. We didn't have to be on bus 4. And he would just crack guys up. He'd do imitations. And he did a thing of going into a Chinese restaurant.
Probably want to leave that one out then.
But it was, I mean, guys were crying.
Why?
Crying.
Michelle Obama said everybody should be celebrating with fried chicken.
And if someone else said it, they'd be out of a job.
You know what I find offensive about that, Fred?
What?
Nothing to do with race or fried. You're not the one to tell me what I can and can't
Mike
eat.
Did go over here.
If I want to celebrate with lemon meringue pie or a piece of celery,
well, that's her
you
thing.
Keep your food to yourself and I'll celebrate the way I want to.
Mark,
you're not the queen.
And when I say
you are the first lady.
And when I say that, if someone else said it, I mean virtually anybody else said that, they'd be fired. Maybe Oprah would have gotten away with it.
It really offended me in a, you don't have the right to tell me what to eat. You don't have the right. Right?
Okay.
Right?
All right?
And it's not a race thing with me. I don't like the idiot in New York who gets to ban sodas of certain sizes, and I'm an adult. I should be able to eat and drink what I want.
Marco, you just have multiple.
Marco writes
smaller
in.
Smaller size, but you just have multiple.
The last four games.
Pound
again,
them like Paul.
The last four games, the great Sergio Brown has been starting at safety for the Colts, so I expect a huge game from Gronk.
Didn't know that. I got 100. What's a 100 burger? Do you call it a 100 burger,
but
Fred?
But just so you know, he probably won't. I mean, I didn't know he was starting either, but LeRon Landry was reinstated, so.
All right.
My guess is that he won't be starting anymore.
I agree with Andy. Gronk is the most irreplaceable player in the league and a Hall of Famer. Leading up to last year's championship game, I was with Paul when he kept saying the Broncos also have significant injuries. But I have several coworkers from Denver. All of them and their friends in Denver said that they were confident of winning with all of their injuries as long as the Patriots did not have Gronk on the field.
I agree with
they
that.
They believe even
the biggest injury of them all was Gronk. Inarguable.
They believe even if all their players were healthy last year and we had Gronk, that we would win. That is how big of a difference he is.
Yep.
History. Our Gronk MVP thing is starting to get a little bit of a groundswell.
Did we start that?
Yes.
Okay. So
first of all, Andy wants to date him. So I really feel like I can't say anything positive about Gronk because Andy will get mad at me.
Right.
No.
Oh, he's the only one that
for
can
being
say,
jealous.
Right, no. Right. The more people say positive things, the better it is. The more people realize how great he is, the greatness we are witnessing.
Mike Reese.
I'm the one that said no other fan or national person can make up nicknames about
the
him.
The Gronkinator.
It's our Gronk. You leave him alone. Right. Stay away from him.
You touch your own Gronk.
Mike Reese also believes he is the league MVP. And I totally
back
him up.
He's a legitimate case for that.
Yeah,
but he won't get it. They give it to quarterbacks.
If he has a couple more games like he's been having, I think.
But what does he need to do? Like, because he can't have a great game.
You've seen it.
But he can't have a great game without Brady having a great game.
Oh, yeah.
If he catches three touchdowns, Brady
needs to make catches like that.
Catches like that to make Brady look good.
Yeah. But you're not going to get enough of those to win an MVP because Brady has 18-1 in the last five. So say Gronk goes on a crazy streak where he ends up with 18 touchdowns. That's 11 touchdown passes. Yeah, 11 more touchdown passes for Brady.
I know.
And then you mix in the others, and Brady has 45 touchdown passes.
But I trust me, I think
that's
that,
the, you know what we need?
It's not going to happen.
You know what we really need? We need Brady to get hurt.
Oh. Bite your tongue.
But you could see it, like those first four games, and I saw a stat yesterday that someone had that he's literally, it's broken in half. He had 37 targets in the first whatever four games and then 37 targets since then. And it was like he caught 54% of the first and 80-something percent of the last.
Yep.
It coincides with, if you remember, he was only playing about half the time
right.
In September.
He wasn't into the rhythm of the
game. And now he's
and
playing the whole
confident.
Game.
Yep.
Now he's kicking ass and taking names.
And he's playing like a guy who doesn't feel injured.
Men want to be him, and
right.
Chicks want to be with him.
He
not
feels,
thinking about it.
Not thinking about it, yeah.
And
yeah.
the whole...
Oh, Eric. You're relatively observant sometimes. The arm thing. Mm. Did you think that they've altered it and it's not as big and bulky? I think there's a flap missing that used to be on there.
Yeah, it's definitely
smaller
than it used to be.
Because it broke a couple times. I think maybe they rejiggered it or whatever.
Yeah, it might not be... like the contraption that he had on in the summer and early in the year, it looked like the J.J. Watt thing. It looked like a knee brace on his arm.
And it looked like it had
looks
that
more
Barry
like a,
Bonds extra thing.
Yeah.
Now it's
more like
it's
a
more
padded
streamlined.
Sleeve.
It's streamlined.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dan
Don't
of
ask
Virginia.
Him about it, though. Remember last time
no.
he asked about it?
No.
It's a big deal.
Dan of Virginia. Awesome game Sunday. Kevin's intro yesterday got me all amped up again. Two comments and two questions. There have been some comments, including Paul yesterday, and it seemed that Manning played a bad game. This sounds like it's taking away from the performance by
geez.
The defense. Or is Paul saying that the defense caused Manning to have a bad game?
Whichever way you want to look at it, I'm not going to argue with you.
I don't
think that Manning was bad.
Well, I don't think
Mark tape there. Paul saying I'm not going to argue.
Whatever way is going to make you feel better, I think you can put it.
I don't think Ninko gets enough credit for his athleticism. He's a big guy who covers a lot of ground very
quickly. You Patriots fans are absolute frauds because about a month ago, everybody was trying to run Ninko out of town. That he was a problem. He doesn't make plays anymore. He's the most overrated player in the game.
Not Dan in Virginia.
Well, I don't know whether he was or wasn't, but there was a large group of people that were ripping Ninko.
Okay.
Frauds.
Which is more frustrating, Ridley's fumbles or Vereen's drops?
Fumbles
yeah.
are far more damaging.
That gives
than
the ball.
Believe me, Paul knows. I'm very frustrated with Shane.
Oh, I mean, Andy wasn't even happy when he had a touchdown the other day.
I said Paul could have done it.
He had a fourth down conversion and a touchdown in the span of about 3 minutes, and Andy was still railing against him.
Do you think Browner will reduce the penalties? Do you care if it is just the cost of physical style of play?
He will not reduce.
I don't think
him.
He'll reduce them. No.
I mean, he has said it starting in the summer and through now.
That's
they knew
how
what
I
they
play.
Were getting when I signed me. I'm not changing the way I play. That's how I play. I play the game. That's what they knew they were getting.
Go Pats, or as Zoe would say, ah!
Don't say that. He's mad at us.
Is he?
I don't know. Hear rumblings.
He's not mad.
I'm not even mad.
He's mad, but in the other sense of the word.
Are you feuding
cuckoo,
with...
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Are we feuding with him, too?
I don't know.
We have so many feuds, we can't keep track.
We reached the point that we said years ago, whenever people start listening to our show and all the people we rip, we're going
to lead to our demise.
We won't be very popular.
This be our demise.
Right, John Rook, you still love us, right?
Let's go
off the air.
Right.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, Melvin?
Not much, man. I'm talking about the game, I guess, coming up with the Colts. I guess you all kind of said it, but I don't think there's too many people on that team that really scare me other than Hilton. I think we'll be able to stop the run, and I think a lot of the other weapons really didn't pan out like they were supposed to. Nix is what I want to talk about. He And I haven't watched too much of the Colts. I mean, too many other games, but he really, you know, went downhill ever since he left the Giants. Have you all seen that?
Yeah, you guys are right. I was actually high on the Hakeem Nicks bandwagon, and he's just been as average could be with the Colts. I thought he'd be a legitimate third option with Hilton and Wayne, and he really has been an afterthought. The tight ends are a much bigger part of the offense than Nicks. You guys were right about that one.
Right, yeah. He really wasn't doing too much in the games outside. But
I think he's only got like 20 catches or something. Maybe not even 20 catches. I don't know.
Yeah, and he drops the ball a lot. Even from the Giants to now, every time I see him, he dropping balls. But last thing I was talking about is, did you all talk about the block in the back that supposedly was the Edelman thing? Did you all really?
Yeah. Tim Wright.
Yeah, everybody agreed that it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, Jeff Howe tweeted out, so I'm going with that. That it was a good block.
It was not.
Yeah, it was a good block.
What did you think, Melvin?
Hey man, that looked pretty close to me. Me, I was ready. I was waiting for the flag.
I was stunned.
Well, the guy certainly sold it well. You know, like he was like,
I don't think he had to sell anything.
Because when they turned,
he actually did a good job of not falling on his face.
This is Fred is the epitome of the Patriot guy today. Even the calls that didn't get made.
He's back.
He's
baby.
Mad about calls that didn't get made.
Right.
Yeah, and Fred, I'll say this and then let it go. But Fred, that was quite obvious pass interference in the end zone. Not you and Andy with what kind of
the Browner one?
Yeah.
Yeah, only if you wanted
you
to.
Didn't think? Yeah. I mean, he turned the ship. That's cool. I knew they were going to call it, but I mean, I'll take that. But it seemed like he didn't need to actually turn the ship. His arms are right there long enough to.
I agree.
That's what Andy and Fred said.
That's the No, Fred said it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
I said it was a penalty that
but
he didn't
you both
need to
agreed
do.
Yesterday that he didn't need to do.
He probably didn't need to have his.
He was going
to
bat the ball away either way. And
no, yeah. I watched it this morning. It was quite obvious that he didn't even. His arm, his elbow was almost like he just, you know, hit the ball away. I don't know why he was. I guess he just. I mean, his.
It's habit, though.
It is.
That's what they do.
You want to know where the guy is, right. So that other hand is always.
And you
touching.
Can have your hand there. You just can't turn. As soon as you do that little pull, which you didn't, he did.
He jumped and kind of swerved with his hips, though.
He did.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay,
thanks, Melvin.
How do you argue facts? Swiveling your hips to make a catch is not the guy made me swivel my hips.
Can we look at this? I'm running this way.
So
and
he
the ball. Why would I turn this way?
He intentionally
way?
Turned okay. away
I
would from
turn
the ball.
Turn to the ball.
Let's turn.
I know
away
you've
from
never played a competitive sport in your life.
That's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
That opens the window.
He intentionally turned his hips away from the ball.
Right. Why don't we look at the film and we'll judge instead of just you
Melvin
know,
just did.
No. I don't need you. I've seen it. Melvin's seen it. You're the only one in your little rose-colored glasses hasn't seen it.
Why don't we just look at it together?
I will say, Freddie, it wasn't the most egregious pass interference penalty I've seen. I've seen it let go. Matter of fact, I thought that he did far worse on the first possession on Demaryius Thomas on a deep fade, back shoulder fade in front of the Broncos bench. I thought he was all over him. They didn't call that one.
No, but
if you're not going to call some of them, I kind of agree with you. Let him go. But say that he didn't get twisted.
I've heard officials say it all the time. That one. It's not an egregious or not egregious. That one with the hand on the hip. If they see any twisting, any pulling of the player,
right.
They're going to call it.
There's
not really a did he twist? It's not like the old face mask where how much do I let go?
Right.
They're going to call it if you do that.
I just don't like it. I agree with you. I agree with everything
that's
you said. Right. I just don't like it.
But
especially when
happens.
He doesn't twist him.
Deep breaths.
Dave's in Connecticut. Man. Hey, Dave.
Nine.
Hey, guys.
Count.
I don't know if we talked about it today. I just got home from work. But my pick, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Rook about it yesterday, was
this
kid, TJ Ward. Okay. You know, I think he deliberately... one of Gronk's first receptions went after the knee in that game.
Okay.
Where he, you know, I don't know much about him. I know he's a hard-hitting, you know, safety. But, I mean, come on, this kid looks like he's a dirty player. And, you know, we're talking about protection of the players and the quarterbacks and stuff like that. You know, this stuff has to stop. It really does.
Tackling, you,
know,
you mean?
You know, you have...
Tackling. You mean tackling needs to stop.
It's a poor example. I mean, somebody's knee deliberately that you know that you previously injured, which blows my mind.
Right. Okay? So he should just let him run down the field. Because Gronk was once injured, TJ Ward should just let him run down the field.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying...
Ride is back. Maybe a piggyback ride for a touchdown.
On the kid, is diving at the same knee.
So he shouldn't tackle him. He shouldn't go.
You know, I mean, granted, you know, it's his job to tackle the guy. And
yes, it is. He gets paid a lot of money for that, and he will lose a lot of money for that when he stops tackling guys and they just run right by him for touchdowns.
Right. You know what? I'm not saying you let the guy run right by you
So should you
do an Olay, but,
do what you need to do to tackle him?
You brought up something, Dave, about player safety. How safe do you think it would be for T.J. Ward to go and go shoulder to shoulder with Rob Gronkowski, a guy who was, what, 4 or 5 inches in,
you know,
70 pounds heavier?
Oh, what? So
is tackling.
Wait, what'd you say?
Tackling is football too, Dave.
Oh, that's funny you feel that way now. Dave, it was a tackle. I'm sorry. No one likes Gronk more than I do. No one wants to see Gronk have a better career than I do. It's football. You get tackled. When you're big, they tackle you low. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Do you remember the first time you were running with the ball and someone took your legs out?
Fred.
I'm agreeing with you.
No.
Don't jump on me.
No, I'm not jumping. You know what I remember?
Yeah.
My senior year in high school, and I don't mean to be all glory days, but we won 2 games in my sophomore and junior year. My senior year in high school, we're 5-0 at New Bedford. And a guy hit me just like T.J. Ward hit Gronk. I tore my ACL. I never played high school football again. So if anybody had like this personal reason low tackle shouldn't be allowed.
I'm just saying.
It's football.
The first time I was tackled by my legs being taken out, I was like, wow, that's effective.
Right.
That works. It's, you know, like all of a sudden I'm running and then my legs were like up here and I was like, wow, that was a good tackle.
Right.
And I
the thoughts going through his head.
And I remember this is like Pop Warner. And even at that young age.
And then he hit Richie Campanella.
Right. And even at that young age, I said to myself,
yeah, you do that a lot.
I do. In the moment, like all these thoughts go. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm falling down.
You should have been a cartoonist.
That's an effective way to tackle it.
And then he thought to himself, this is going to hurt when I hit the ground.
I had no.
You, everything is in a bubble over his head. He should have been a cartoonist.
I had no, you know, and I
think it was a cartoon.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
What a buffoon.
Right, you know? It's an effective way to tackle.
And it's especially effective when there's a size differential. When the old physics of objects in motion tend to be, unless there's a force, an equal and opposite direction. Yeah. T.J. Ward doesn't have a force equal and opposite in direction as Gronk. It's not physically possible unless he's shot out of a cannon.
And we're all very sorry about your ACL
and the
career that you could have had. All right.
I hate you more than anything in the world.
that's the end of this show.
And he does it right when he jumps.
I hope your fat shoulders explode while you sleep.
John Rook is here for the Patriots playbook.
You drown in your own fat.
What's going on today, John?
Game show Wednesday, and I don't know how it could possibly top that.
No, I thought it was really bad Wednesday.
No, we're not,
or something.
We're not as good as everyone thinks Wednesday.
And by the way, the guy who said that, who did the email, you guys were ragging me on yesterday, he wrote back into the show yesterday and said, you guys didn't finish reading the email. So
I don't
he
read
actually
emails.
Likes this show better than yours.
I don't read emails.
Okay.
So you can't blame
that
me.
Makes sense.
It's either Bertrand or
oh, now you should hate him.
Wow.
All right, John's here, and then the Bob Soucy Show at 4 o'clock. Stick around. Great
no
Patriots
tonight.
Talk coming
fantasies up. Fantasies at 4.
That's on Thursday.
This podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.